can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. You're listening to... There we go. Good morning, everybody, welcome to the show. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Still the holiday shows that are going on. And we're having a good time. We're having a good time. I don't know if it's Blog Talk. I got to start this off right now. I don't know if it's Blog Talk, but a couple of people cannot find the show. So, oh boy. And they really want to see the show and they want to listen to the show today. So the only thing I can do is send them the link. But I'm going to try to send them the link while I'm still talking to you. So I'm going to try to rub my stomach and tap my head at the same time to see if I can do this. But I don't know if I could. But today, as we're live, it's November 29th, 2022. And if you're still shopping like me, there's hardly anything out there. There's hardly anything out there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some magic because Blog Talk is so shitty that it give you the next day, they'll take care of business, so I have to take care of business. Now you see my postings are not up either. So let me play a song, and we'll come right back, and I'll make sure that everybody can see the show and hear the show. Okay, one of my favorite songs, Aerosmith, Don't Want to Miss a Thing, and when we come back, the White Supremacist, Nick Fuentes, called Donald Trump a bitch. You will not beast. How do you say it? I started saying a bad sentence. You would be amazed how Donald Trump is taking this. He's taking it like a bitch. We'll get to that after this. We'll be right back. times there's people, I didn't have much of an audience. I have a big audience now, and I'm grateful because I'm blown away. But back then, it wasn't really much of an audience. It was maybe, we put everything into it, every freaking thing. I had a show for 15 minutes. Never been on a radio before. 15 minutes, I had 5 guests. I mean, not people listening to the show. 5 guests. We didn't even know how to do it. Bottom line, there was, we found out the key. The more guests I booked, the people will promote the show, and their friends will show up, so it looks like it got a lot of ratings, right? Like, cool. You book 5 guests, and they bring their friends, and a guest that I have happen to have no friends. I think I'm the only one in the world that booked guests with no friends. But even if they did, it would spike. It's like, oh, my God, because I'm booking 5 guests. Oh, my God, 50 people listen today. And then tomorrow will be 2. Couldn't figure it out. And then I'm thinking when I had 2, it was a bad show. But that 50, the 50 I got, they must have loved the show. And then it took me a while to figure it out. That the guests I was booking brought their own people. When they left, but they never stayed. We had a problem. But there was one person. It was just one person that stayed there, and we didn't know who she was. She wasn't a guest. She wasn't this. Wasn't this. She stood there. So we kept doing the show, and that one. And it says, "Okay, how many listeners? 1." And that one person was so fucking loyal. You get discouraged. You get discouraged. You get discouraged. And then, you know, 2 months later, how many people? 1. And finally, I asked, "Who was this one person? Who was this person? Always there, constantly there." 7 months later, 1. 7.5 months later, 5. 8 months, 100. But that one, I was fascinated about that one. Just fascinated about that one. No matter how I felt, no matter if I was sick, whatever, that one person, man, that one, made me go on. You know, the show must go on. That one. And we got to a point where we got thousands of people, whatever. And this one followed. And I would ask my producer, I don't care. Do we still hold her? Because she was the show. If she left, that means the show was shitty. It hit the sharks. And I would ask, okay, we got 5,000. We got 6,000. We got 7,000. I don't care. What about that one? Yeah, we still got the one. Yes, that one. Diane. Our Diane. Diane Mears Dillon was the one. She was that one. Diane has passed away now. She's in heaven. I'm not saying she could be replaced. She can never be replaced. But there is one. There's another one. It's like a Star Wars movie, right? And it's like when at the scene where Yoda and Obi-Wan are sitting on a log, and Luke had to go, and they're saying, "Luke, no, you can't go. You're not ready yet." Blah blah blah. But Luke says, "I must go. My friends are in trouble." Blah blah blah. He takes off. Peek. You know. Whew, ding, 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 you know. So they sit in on that log, and I remember the scene with Obi-Wan and the frog. He's not a frog. Yoda. I don't know what Yoda is. So they're sitting on a log, saying, "Oh, woe is us, woe is us." You know, he hit it on the chin. "Come on, my little buckaroo." Well, he didn't call him a buckaroo. He didn't call him a buckaroo. And he said this.
"That boy is our last hope."
"No. Everything after."
Yeah, there's another one. Wow.
"That boy is our last hope."
"No. Everything after."
There's another. And then I think he went on to do the Muppets. I'm not quite sure. She knows who she is in Virginia. There is another. You know, it's like we're sitting on a log, and she looks down, She goes, "Hello, my little buckaroo." Well, she didn't really call me a buckaroo. And she says, it wasn't quite like Yoda. It was more like a female Martin Luther King. Was like, "You know, Brian, I may not be on the show all the time, but I am listening. So I may not take you to the promised land, but I'll mention your name." I want to thank her for all this time. Thank you, Laverne. Thank you very much, kiddo. She knows what I'm talking about. Well, it is the 29th. Some of you saying, "Yeah, it's Tuesday." Yeah. Some of you saying, "I know, I just shopped at my store and it's Black, what was it, Cyber Monday." Yeah. Hey, good morning, Laverne. How are you, sweetie?
Good morning. How are you? I'm just great.
I know you are. I was just telling the story that you may not always be in the room. You may not, but I'm listening, baby.
Right, and so that's why I had to call in for my debut.
Hey, I know what you're doing. I know you're with family, and you got a lot of family around you. I know you're there, but thanks for calling in. You can leave any time you want to because I know you're still listening. But it is the truth. It is the damn truth. It is the damn truth, and I love you for it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. This is like almost our last show, maybe in this format. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oof. Tomorrow I will not be on. I will not be on.
Okay.
So I will not be on tomorrow. That's Wednesday. Might be Thursday. A good might be. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Thursday and Friday are iffy. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you want to know when I'm on, all you have to do is follow me. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, / Brian Hammer Jackson. Those 2 days, Thursday and Friday, might be really iffy. Really, really iffy.
Okay.
But I do know that I will not be on for about 2 weeks after that for sure. That brings me to...
We're going to miss you.
Oh, no, you won't. I can finally watch my YouTube.
Now, that may be the case, but it still don't constitute me missing you.
You won't miss me because I'll be texting you. You know I will. I'll be texting you on my vacation, complaining like I always do. You know I will.
Yes.
How you doing, Laverne?
That's okay.
Yeah. Can't believe I'm on this vacation, and you know how it is. It sucks. I'm going to break away. You know I will.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to just thank you so much, and you and Melissa and King. And there's just so many people to thank. I'm afraid if I start going by one, I'm going to screw up. And it's one of those things. I even want to thank some of the meatheads who are on the show, you know, going with Cole. And, God, I can't even remember some of these people.
Oh, the ones, Tianke.
Oh, my God.
Solution.
Yeah.
Ellen.
Ellen, that's right. And should we thank, who was the cooking girl? What was her name? Cherie? Should we thank her or no?
Oh, yeah, Cherie. Yes, you should thank everyone that has
came
up there and made a difference, you know.
Yes.
Even
why yes.
It was just for the time that they were there, they made a difference.
They did. They had sparked some emotion on me that you would not believe. I didn't take the time to do the best of Brian because there's none. No, I'm only kidding. There's so many great shows that we had. And they were not listed. There were so many great moments that they were not listed. They just came and they happened. Like the time we called Stan Lee from Marvel. That just happened. or
mm-hmm.
and I want to thank my psychic. Oh my God, I want to thank her so much. It's my throat is killing me, by the way. I keep forgetting her. Pat. I want to thank
mm-hmm.
Pat. Are you kidding me? The best psychic in the world. There's so many people. The odds in Vegas, will Brian be back? The odds are, for this kind of format versus podcast, because I do want to do something that's very challenging. I do, and it'll give me time to, if I decide to come back, I do want to do it. I do want to go live stream. I do want to do this live, meaning that I could stream on Facebook and I could stream on YouTube at the same time. I do want to put a new guest on. Yeah, I am thinking about that in my head. I really am. I'm thinking about it. I want to put new guests on so you can see them. I want live performances like we propelled the show before and propelled these groups. I really want to do it. I really want to do that. I'm debating, can I do it by myself or do I need help? I all these things will be in my head during the vacation, and all these things will be texting you and Melissa and King about advice on what do you think? Because these are the people who I trust. What do you think? You know what I mean? So
yes, but also you're going to have to feel confident in that you can do it alone. And it's great if you have someone else. That's
right.
A plus. But
right.
Like you say, you don't want one monkey to stop a show. So
right.
Get enough confidence that you can do it by yourself, and then you add on if you choose to.
Right. It's like you say, one monkey don't stop no show. Now, I started off as a monkey, but I ended up as King Kong, and I own the damn place. That's what I do.
Hey.
Who's gonna replace me, baby?
Hey, you're not replaceable.
Thank you. You're irreplaceable.
One and only.
Hey, thank you to some, and I have not been locked up yet. Hey, sweetheart, we got a great show today, and we're gonna chit chat on how your Thanksgiving went. I'm just gonna give me the. I just want you to give me the headlines. Did it go well for you? Your Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, yes. Our Thanksgiving went very well. We had a smaller crowd this year.
Right.
But that was even, that was even kind of better because you got to sit down and you got to talk to and enjoy each other company without, spreading yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great. We really enjoy ourselves and still we're looking forward to the next event now, which is my sister's
good.
Birthday party that we're going to plan for.
See, that's why I will never have Thanksgiving holiday with you, because of what you just said. Because you said this, we had a great Thanksgiving, and you don't have to spread yourself. Now, that kind of bothered me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. If I'm coming over there, you're going to be spreading, girl.
No.
I am so inappropriate. Oh, stop it.
Yes, you are.
I leave a bad taste in your mouth. It's like, I am such a high-class girl. Why don't I go slumming? I know. I'm sorry.
No, baby, don't worry about that, because we ain't going to get that far for you to leave a bad taste in my mouth.
Wow. 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 Oh, my God. Well, welcome to the Laverne Jackson Show. Wow. God, that was a good one. Oh, God, you're too funny. Well, Laverne, here we go for our last show. I didn't want to – I got to give you this one.
Hi-yo!
Yeah, Laverne. I didn't want to do it on Trump, but, and I tried to stay away from it, but this is getting worse. It's getting embarrassing. We have a guy named Stan Lee. Stan Lee will come in. Maybe he came in. I don't know. I texted him. I was on, so maybe he'll come in. And he kept bragging that Trump is there because he's a strong man. I vote for him because he's a strong man. Well, Not so much. Everybody's talking about the dinner with Nick Fuentes, the white supremacist, and Kanye. They did him dirty. They did. See, I told you. See, the problem with Trump is like the mafia. They bury the bodies. Trump wounds people. He hurts them. So he leaves you walking like the walking dead. I mean, they shake their head. How could you do this to me? You messed up my career. How could you do this to me? I could never run again. I have to retire. You know, I'm afraid of you. I got to kiss the ring. Why would you? But he still left them walking. They're walking wounded. Not the walking dead. They're the walking wounded. And when you leave the walking wounded, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. And they are coming back. You got Republicans now talking about, I would never have done that. Now, Trump should apologize. You got Republicans who are never talking about Trump and starting to talk about Trump. We need to go to another direction. This movie we've seen before. This is embarrassing. These are the words that are coming from the GOP. These are the words, and donors are now switching over to DeSantis. And Trump still got a lot of money. He don't get me wrong. He's still a powerful guy. But they're looking for a way out. But the walking wounded, and he has wounded a lot of people. Pompeo. He has wounded his, what's his name, his attorney general. They're talking against him. And they were protecting him at one time. There's too many people that he left wounded, and he hurt them. Kellyanne Conway, there was rumors that she was going to come back and help his campaign in 24. She just said, no, she's not. And she didn't even, she just went in the committee and talked 5 hours. And some said she didn't even have a subpoena. Some said she did. She was happy about it, and she didn't take the fits at one time. Kellyanne Conway. And don't forget Bannon. Bannon's still there, but where is he? Because he's going to jail. Hey, don't forget Trump's most trusted person in the world, the guy who did his taxes, who do his books. I mean, he was a friend of Trump's father, and he's Trump's most trusted friend. Where's he? Oh, I'm sorry. He's going to jail, too. We had this talk. I feel like I'm the old uncle coming for Christmas, and go, oh, here comes Uncle Hammer. He's going to get all uppity on the table now, which is fun to eat, but Uncle Hammer has to come here, and he has to preach. I'm sorry, y'all, but it's true. We have told you, don't you have anything better to do and bring us your champion than to bring us a guy who lost 3 times? It's like we look to the village and go, where's your champion? Well, we got Fred here. Okay, Fred, you're the champion? Well, not exactly. I lost 3 times. I'm under indictment, and I got impeached twice. And I've only been here for about, a year. This is what you bring me to a fight? This is what you bring me to run for president of the United States, a 3-time loser for president of the United States? Oh, wait. Let's get the other idiot from Georgia, who we can't understand what the hell he's talking about, as a senator, too. Well, who appointed him? Trump. And again, they didn't say anything. You know, there's a, Melissa, I'm sorry, Laverne, there's a saying, and I don't know what it is, and you're good with the saying. It says, when a good man does nothing, do you remember it? When a good man does nothing, do you remember the end of it?
When a good man does nothing, all falls back.
what did you say? Oh, my God. I have to change the rating. Wow.
I said, when a good man does nothing, all falls back.
True. You know what? You're almost close. There's a saying, when a good man does, and I forgot who said it, and you're very close. When a good man, I got to put it in here, does nothing.
Oh, Lord.
But you were almost close, believe it or not. It says here it is. Here's the quote. And you're not going to believe who said it. The quote is by, is it John Quincy Adams? Who said it? Okay. Evil triumphs when a good man do nothing. That's the quote. So if you're a good man, you're just standing there keeping your mouth shut, evil triumphs. when good men does nothings.
I kind of agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And it says here, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. This is the downside to the longevity of sloth. It is an exit on a highway that leads to the worst parts of the town. Corey Taylor Good, Corey Taylor, maybe that's him. Good men don't need to become legends. They just do what's right anyway. That's by Brandon Sanderson. Wow, I like that one too. Good
mm-hmm.
men don't need to become legends. They just do what's right anyway. Corey Taylor says, good men don't need to become legends. They just do it right anyway. Brandon, or whatever. But yeah. And this is what happens with the Republican Party. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do nothing. And now what's happening? What's happening? I told you, and I said this, and people think I'm crazy. No, I just act crazy on radio. Trump is going to burn the Republicans down. He's going to burn the House down. He's going to burn it. Because Trump is going to get angry because he's already looking for people to boost him up. A lot of Republicans are looking for people to leave Trump. They close that. I told you when the election, they're going to close that little curtain, and they're going to hold their nose and vote for a Democrat, vote for Biden, and a lot of them did. And that's what's happening. So Trump is looking for Republicans to boost his ego to help him, and the Republicans are saying this is our chance to abandon him and move forward, but they're a little too scared. It's almost a breakup that it's like, you know what? You can't break up nice. If it doesn't hurt or it doesn't destroy a person, then you're not breaking up. And I don't mean that as a joke. You cannot break a person's heart nicely. It's almost impossible. Think about it. So when you do break a person, and you don't mean to hurt them, it's either you're getting out of the relationship or you're getting out of something and you know you're going to break their heart. And there's no way that you can let a person down gently, because when you leave a person's life, there's no way that could be gently. I am leaving you. I'm now out of your life. I wish you well. Hugs? It doesn't work. And Trump is feeling that right now. And the most dangerous Trump we have is when he feels that. When he starts feeling that and he starts feeling that he's not getting any support, and he starts feeling that they're not stepping up for him or protecting him, he's going to burn the Republican House down. This shit show is about to get started. I did a little thing on it. You know, I think you liked it. I don't. Should I play it again? I don't remember where I put it. But this shit show is about to start, and this shit show is about to, and it's going to be sad. And the reason's going to be sad. It's when you're a fighter or you're a champion, even if you think you're a champion, it doesn't matter. You can be the best. You can work in the lumber mill. You can work in a machine shop. You can look, and you're the manager of your job, and you're the best foreman ever. It doesn't have to be something that everybody knows who you are. You're the best. I remember my girlfriend, I was a football player. My girlfriend's family didn't want me to be a football player. So one summer they got me a job at the telephone company, GTE. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that. And my girlfriend came to me and goes, well, my dad wants you to work. Her dad was the head honcho over there, you know, this division. My dad wants you to work there because he wants to know that you can afford me. And he said, I'm going to be a football player. Leave me alone. No, we're living together, and you have to appease my parents. And so we compromised one summer. Go there one summer. I'm a football player. I'm not like these guys. These guys breaking their back. I mean, they were laying cable. And if you ever seen cable, telephone cable, they're on this big giant spool that I used to use as my table. Heavy. I mean, have you ever felt cable, man? Telephone cable. It is extremely heavy. And it could break your arm. I mean, it's some hard work. Put that on your shoulder, your hard hat, you're pulling. I have never seen hard work like that in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're introducing me, and we already had the backstory. Don't let them know that my dad, you know, we know this. You're going in, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going in to see a white people in the back end of the DTE. Laying cable, we're working on the bay. We're the first group, first unit that's going to perform this thing. Some guy, the head honcho, said this is going to be history. We're going to move this bay. And a bay, I don't know, maybe Laverne could describe what a bay is. A bay, Jesus, it's like a wall. It's like a wall of live wires and people still talking, like we're talking here. We're still talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers a whole wide, but there's a little mechanism, and it keeps us from talking and talking and talking. And if you mess it up, when you mess up a bay, meaning that it goes down, a whole state can lose communication. That's maybe more. That's how fragile it is. So it's
okay.
Never been done before. And so Mr. Freer, that was his name, had the bright idea to put Brian there so he can go down in infamy, so he could pave his way to GTE legendary status. People were heroes. And they were interviewed. There was like seven of us. It's like a motley crew. These were misfits that you would not see a misfit, meaning that if the bay fell on it, if the bay fell on us, nobody's going to miss us. Okay, let's clean this up. Let's start the conspiracy. Nobody, yeah, we're one of these motley crews. Like, we look around going, seriously? And then they said, the foreman says, I want to introduce you guys something. This is the most inspirational man I've ever met in my life. His name was Percy. Percy. I'm hearing the word Percy. What kind of Percy? Percy was a giant of a man back then. I mean, he stood about 6'4", 275 pounds of muscle. Black dude, never smiled, and he always looked at you like he just stepped in shit and he needed to wipe his shoe on the sidewalk. You're not going to impress Percy. And he goes, this is Percy. And everybody goes, hey, Percy wouldn't talk to nobody. He just looked at this crew and say shit. He wouldn't even reach his hands out to shake no hands. They go, oh, look at him. What's going on with this nigga? He's a little uppity. Well, I think I'm going to go wash my hands. By lunchtime, I should be home. This is what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is not going to take long before they fire my black ass. You know, I never even broke a nail. I should be home by lunch. But I had to make it look good, right? Because it's the girl's father. So I had to make it, you know, like I had to try. I can't just quit.
Right.
So I had to make it look good. I still had this plan. I got 4 fucking hours with this, you know, these idiots. And I don't know what started to whistle. The guy left. Percy, they're all yours. I'm going, they're all yours. And my little hard hat kept falling down with my jerry curl. Kept slipping off the side of my head. It's true. That jerry curl juice. Go, what the hell?
Man, you had jerry curl when you were working around electricity.
I know, right? And during break time. Hey, what, Percy can be saying, what the fuck are you doing? Hey, I got to keep my curls. He goes, are you crazy? We're on electricity. He said the same thing with you. We're on electricity. Cut that shit out. You know, and if you ever had a jerry curl and you did not moisturize it, you know what you look like. You know? It was a mess. It looked like buckwheat. You basically did. It was a mess. So Percy, go, let's get to work. Percy started working. Percy got the thing. He got the cable. We're going to hit the cable. We're going to move this. And everybody's just walking around. And Percy goes, this cable need to be moving. Percy didn't even wait. He got the cable. He got 2 cables. Put it on both shoulders. And he was going forward like a mule. He was moving cable by himself. By himself. And I'm like, damn, look at Percy. And Percy would do shit like that. And we go, well, we got to get to the top of the bay and measure it. We go, well, who's on top of the bay? Percy's already up there measuring it by himself. Nobody told Percy to go up there. And it would be getting close to lunchtime. And we're getting really hungry because of doing nothing. And so it was almost lunch. I figured this was it, and I looked, and it was 2 minutes before 12, getting ready to go in to the thing to eat. And I looked at Percy, and Percy was doing the floor. He's sweeping up the floor. He was always doing things. And it was, and then he got to me, and it was amazing about this man. I'm saying, okay, what's going on here? Is this guy on crack or is he on coke? What's going on? Percy had this reputation back then at GT. If you mentioned his name, even my girlfriend's father lit up. Like, oh, my God, the guy's a legend. You know what I mean? This is a legend of story. Percy's the best. And I knew it because of my girlfriend's father, who was a really higher up there in management, you know, corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to talk. So he looked at me. And he goes, back then, they used to call you young blood. You know what I mean? I have a white audience, Laverne. You know what I mean?
Right, I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
You know, or blood, whatever. And he looked at me, goes, what you doing? I swear to God, I'm going to eat lunch. You're going to eat lunch. Yeah. At this point, I feel like he bullied me. I was going to, you want to have my sandwich? I mean, what do you want? You going to hold me up? I mean, that's how he looked at me, right? You're going to eat lunch. And I said, yeah, I'm going to eat lunch. It's lunchtime. He goes, you see that spool over there? It was an empty thing from the cable. He goes, yeah. Well, that's in the way of a forklift. I think we should move it. We'll move it after lunch. He goes, move it after lunch? I hurried up and ate my sandwich because I thought he was going to eat my sandwich because he was getting mad. I'm going, maybe he's hungry. My sandwich, because this guy really upset. I ate my sandwich. I put it in my mouth really quickly. He might be hungry.
I bet you had a good lunch that day, too.
I didn't even taste the sandwich. What was that? And he said to me, and the wisest words he said to me, he says, you know, we got to do bigger, better, and better. He goes, we got to leave a legacy. Whatever we do it right. We do it good. We don't rest. We just get the job done. That's what we do. And we make sure we get it done correctly. That's our legacy. When we leave the job behind, it has our signature on it. It says Percy was here. It says Brian was here. I go, it'll say, and he looked at me and goes, well, it'll say Percy's here. I go, but I was not interested. Then I started looking at this guy, and I said, well, I'm not going to be you. I'm not going to waste, and I'm thinking to myself, I never said it to him, but I said it to myself, I'm not going to be you. I'm going to be a football star. I don't have to slay cable like this and die in a place where nobody appreciates me. What are you going to get? Your little retirement badge? I'm thinking in my head, I had no respect for him. I had no respect for him. You keep doing what you want to do. You're a legend over here. Boo-hoo-hoo. Nobody knows who you are. You know, this is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just laying, he was just laying truth down almost every freaking day, you know. And to a point where I say, it doesn't, then I finally got it. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do a good job, and you leave your signature. You'll be remembered. And this guy, I'm telling you, for the rest of my life, I remember this guy as plain as today. I've never seen anybody sparkle and shine and his work ethic. I've never seen anybody who left the signature to be proud of and say, you know what? Even when I went back to school and it was 2 years later and I was still dating her, and I see my ex-girlfriend's father, and he would be in his lounge chair, and he would smile, and I said, you got the Percy smile? And he goes, yep. I go, he did it again, didn't he? And he just smiled, yes, he did. And I wanted to be him. You know what I mean? I just want, meaning I was, but just his work ethic. Kobe Bryant had the same work ethic. It's not him against anybody else. It's always him against him. And he can never beat himself because he keeps raising the bar higher and higher. I can never beat myself on the radio because I was never satisfied. I have bad shows. My bad shows are bad shows. I have great shows. My great shows. But I can, even if I have great shows by accident, I can never beat it. And I want to be it. And I guess that's what it is when you against you. And when you against you, you can never win because you're not satisfied. You always want to be better, and you want to beat yourself, but you can't beat yourself because you keep holding yourself with higher esteem, and you keep wanting to go further and beat that guy that you proposed in your head who that guy is. But he's unbeatable. That's part of being a psycho. You know what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Laverne, I know your background, and I know that you're working with these rough and tough men, and I know that you were in a supervisory position, and I know it could be intimidating, I know, but you had to, for you to have that, you have to have your confidence, right? They had to look at you.
You had to.
And know that you got to know your shit, because you didn't have one bad day. If you had one bad day, and you're a woman on this, it could destroy you. Am I correct? I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure, but.
Man, you can have a bad day. You can have a bad day, but a person has to know to know you, to know that, you know, your confidence level has to be so high that you have to show and let people know that you're not a pushover. But
right.
You may have a bad day and no one, you know, complain about it. Either they'll try to help you or do nothing. But that confidence must come from yourself because, like you said, you cannot get a job done being in authority, having authority and letting other people run over you.
You hit it on the head. And that it goes full circle. So if you ever listen to the show, you can say, wait for it. It'll come full circle. And Laverne just said it right. So when I do this show, I would kid around. But I can't have people come in, call me a bitch, tell me to shut up, tell me to sit down, I'm talking. For a person who thinks they can do that, apparently thinks I'm weak, or they see a weakness, because they would have never done that to Percy. They would have never done that to Laverne. They would have never done that to Trump in his earlier time. I'm getting to a point here. But when they see a weakness, they will use that weakness. And if you don't rise to that occasion of who you are and put your signature of who you are,
yeah,
you might as well pack it up, bow your head, and walk away.
That's right.
That's the day. So it's hard. So, yeah. Laverne, I salute you for the job you have done and the years you have done it. The roughest, toughest dudes came through your eyesight. Badass dudes, Laverne. They were there. Big dudes, skinny dudes, mostly big dudes. You as a woman, I see you weigh about 105.
Yeah.
You stared them down.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you're smaller. You stared them down and go, yes,
stature.
Ma'am. Yes. They go, yes, ma'am.
But you know, a lot of times, too, a person won't do no more than you allow them to do.
Sometimes, yes. Yes. But see, sometimes they don't know where the line is because you're right, because you allow it. 111, you're live on the air with Brian the Hammer Jackson and Laverne Verney, the honor of being
Hello,
on the air.
Laverne. Hello, Brian.
How are you?
It's all good. I'm glad to hear that you're on board. And, Brian, I have a question for you, sir.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm just coming into the show, and I saw the title of the show here. Did the white supremacist Nick Fuentes call Donald Trump a bitch?
That's the title.
So I missed everything. I haven't heard what the take is. I don't want to interrupt the flow or nothing. But are you daring to try to compare this little concertant with Donald Trump to the rampant anti-Semitism that manifests itself on a regular basis in the Democrat Party and by Joe Biden in particular? Are you actually trying to draw a comparison? Because if you do, and you let me, I'm going to call you out, and I'm going to give you real-world examples that it ain't going to hold water.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let the facts tell you what I'm hearing. Now, let me tell you something. This is not – I'm not about here – I'm not about to tell you the whole story that we're talking about. I'm not about to tell you go get him, take Trump down, and Trump's a bitch and everything. In fact, if you listen to the stories that we're talking about, I'm kind of on Trump's side. But – and so before – so dip your flaming arrows into the water. Still keep your bowl up. And let the facts tell the story. But I feel – that this is a dark day for you Trump supporters, and I kind of feel for you. I do, and I'll explain. I will explain why. And thank you, Laverne, for being so nice and sharing some of your personal life. I really do. That's really special of you. You know,
okay. So I'm gonna hang up now. Brad, since I was waiting for Sarge to come in.
I know you did.
Waiting, you know, to handle the thing, help handle the thing. So,
hey, I got a song for you.
You can stick
okay.
around.
You're going to listen, and I'm going to play a song for you, okay, Laverne?
If you can, Laverne, you ought to stick around. Don't go anywhere yet. I'd like to hear your take on
something. She has family. No, Sarge, she has so much family. She just came on to keep me company.
Oh, okay. Well, you got
here.
Something important to do. Okay, but, you know, it's still nice
family.
To hear that you're here. Come back
Isn't
again
it?
Soon, please.
Yes,
please. Okay, Sarge. Okay, Brian.
All right, baby. Thank you again, sweetheart. Love you.
Love you too, baby.
Bye-bye.
It's like a champion, you know. Sometimes a champion waits too long. Muhammad Ali did it when he got whooped. Every great champion, they don't know when to retire. And a champion doesn't retire. The champion doesn't retire from the game. The game retires.
Thou dost protest too much here, Brian.
No. What is happening here is I think he got caught in a situation where – there's no way out. And let me explain what's going on.
Oh, please. Now you're really going to bridge too far.
No, I'm saying the facts. Now, here it is, title of the show. Did the white supremacist Nick Fuentes call Donald Trump a bitch?
Well, maybe he did, but what's the significance of that, even if he did?
Because Trump can't
do anything.
You
called him worse than that. So
because
what that?
How Trump reacted, because how Trump, wait, what I'm trying to say is how Trump reacted to him. Nick owned him, and I'll tell you what happened. The one strong Donald Trump became a bitch and a weak, dumb idiot to two extreme fuck-ups like Ye and Nick Fuentes. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to revisit what happened to Matthew Perry, because I read that story a little further, and this man was talking about his colonoscopy bag, blew up in his face. He had shit all over him and everything. It got a little bit more dirty. We're gonna get into that. It was something very interesting. And as he goes, welcome to the GOP shit show. And here we go. And I'm so happy today on the show right now we have Sarge. I like Sarge. I really do. You just heard the lovely Laverne. It's a treat to talk to Sarge, and it's a treat to talk to lovely Laverne. And if you'd like to come on the show, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099, that's the number to get you on the show and hear your voice. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We are worldwide. And listen to the show is a good one. And we're going to get right into it. Sarge, I got to get my coffee. Do you have your coffee? What time is it there? 8, 9, 10, 11? Oh, you already had your coffee. It's 11:30 where you are.
It's almost afternoon out here in Georgia.
Georgia? Ooh,
Joe.
Come on,
yeah,
Ray Charles.
It's almost noon, man. It's 11:37.
Georgia on my mind. You got Georgia on. You like that song, Georgia on My Mind?
Oh, anything by Ray Charles is always mellow and soothing.
Wasn't he something?
Yeah, he was a singular individual.
Mm.
It's like Nat King Cole, man. There's some guys, you hear them, there's nobody else like them.
I know, right? You just have
there is
that,
nobody else. You know, nobody else can. You Nat King Cole, singular and stellar, like Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole, and you know Ella Fitzgerald and people like that. I mean, they're just in a galaxy over and above anything else you might hear.
Mm.
You hear
yeah,
you know who you're listening to.
I know. Well, you know what? You got Georgia on my mind right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about why Trump. I think Trump is in a situation where he's going to have to fight himself out to gain respect. I'm glad Sarge is here, and you know the number to get in. And we'll be right back after Georgia.
All right. Well, yeah, let's have that one out because, man, this ought to be a doozy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, you may not like what I have to say, but it's all in fact.
It doesn't matter if I don't like. Remember, I prefer clarity to agreement, Brian. The idea is not to agree. The idea is to clarify and let people make up
you
their minds.
You got
so,
it,
so, I
my
mean,
friend.
It doesn't matter that you agree with me or me agree with you. You make your case, I'll make mine. I'm telling you right now, there's anti-Semitism and Jew hatred in the Democrat Party, and progressivism is off the chain. There is no comparison between this little gap that Trump may or may not have allowed to happen and what the Democrat Party has been doing for the last 20 or 30 years. It's not even close.
You got it. I'll make my case. You make yours. We'll be right back. I'm going to get some coffee. Thank you, Sarge.
Georgia. Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. I said, Georgia, Georgia, a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. Other arms reach out to me.
Reminds me of every time I think of Ray Charles. No, it was Stevie Wonder, I'm sorry. When Stevie Wonder was playing for the President George Bush and he started waving at him from the balcony to try to get Stevie Wonder's attention. And somebody had to tell President Bush he's blind. All right. Let me tell you a story, friends. So there's three Jugheads. A black man, a man whose last name is Fuentes, which is usually Cuban or Spanish, but somehow he became a white supremacist, and there was a woman. They decided to go see the former president. They get in the car. And this is a story I heard. There's only one man that was on the list to go in to see the president, as told by the ex-president, former president, which we know is a lie, because if that's true, the Secret Service did not do their job. We know that the regular human being, a homeless person, or nobody could get near the president or speak to the president, let alone have dinner with the president, unless you're vetted. But let's forget that, and let's go on with the story. So these three clowns go in, these misfits, these clowns, these nutcases, somehow found their way in Mar-a-Lago. They get in. They get stopped at the gate. The person said, "Who are you?" The person recognized Yi. But he didn't really recognize the other two, as the former president was said, but then since Yi vouched for them, he brought, as the former president said it, he brought two friends. Now, this already puts Trump into a bad light, because one, you got your Secret Service supposed to know who, you put the names who sees you because they've been vetted, blah, 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 blah. We already know the deal. You just don't come in as Trump invited Sarge, and then Sarge goes, "You know what, I think I'm going to invite Brian and I'm going to invite Stanley." No, 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 you won't get in. You can't even do that. You can't do that at a back pass to a concert. But let's forget that. Now, this asshole, I'm telling the story and then I'll tell you the facts. This asshole named Fuentes has a conversation with Trump, the former president of the United States of America, the most powerful man in the United States of America. And he starts being an ass. And he says to Trump, "The reason I'm here is to put you back where you need to be. You seem to lost your way." This nobody talking to the former president of the United States of America, telling him he's off track, that he needs to get back to where he was. Trump is agreeing with this person at this point. And this person said that he didn't leave MAGA. The MAGA group left him. Trump was talking more conservatively, he wasn't a leader anymore, blah, 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 blah. Leave it to Trump. See, these people don't understand anything. Nobody would know who this fucker is. If you look at this fucker, you just want to punch him in the face. There's something smug about him that you just want to kick his ass just for him looking who he looks like. This smug-ass bastard was a nobody. Donald Trump made him a somebody now. Now he's a somebody. Now whatever, he's probably a joke in whatever group he was with. It's probably a joke. But Donald Trump just made him one of the most important guys in the world that the cable news can't get enough of. His profile just went crazy. Who did it? Donald Trump did it. Donald Trump made him. Who is Nick Fuentes? Well, his real name is Nicholas Joseph Fuentes. He was born in August 18, 1998. He's an American far-right Christian nationalist, by the way. Christian! When did Christian become a dirty word? Remember the good old days when they were lion food, when you used to feed a Christian to the lion and you had your little pets? Here, kitty, kitty. Are you hungry? And you throw them a Christian, and they purr. All right, kitty, go lay down. Well, the good old days. Art thou not entertained? So he's a white nationalist and a white supremacist political commentator and live streamer basically, he's out of work, and he live streams from his basement. That's basically what it is. A former YouTuber. There's no such thing as a – you know what a former YouTuber is? Nobody's listening to your streams, and nobody's watching you. Therefore, bye-bye. That makes you a former YouTuber. Because you're never a former YouTuber. If you got a lot of listeners and you got a lot of audience, you're never a former YouTuber. You grow bigger and bigger, and you're an influencer. A former YouTuber means you failed, that people think you're a nut. Nobody listens to you, and you're not credible. That's what a former YouTuber is. His channel was permanently suspended in February 2020 for violating YouTube's hate speech policies. You have to do a lot of bad things to get your channel suspended from YouTube. I mean, my God, you know how many things I had to do to even do that, and they still put me on there. They even had this thing to all of our readers in the U.S. This Tuesday, your supporters, today we invite you to donate $2 or whatever it seems right to you. He was asking for money, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I changed. Forget this. He was donating. So he got suspended from YouTube for his hate speech. Let me explain what hate speech is. When you guys said, well, I got my First Amendment. Well, your First Amendment doesn't cover hate speech. People don't know the difference. Right, Sarge? I know you want to get in here. Does hate speech covers, does the amendment covers hate speech, your First Amendment?
Look, the only speech that is forbidden regarding the First Amendment, the only speech is speech that, A, invites and solicits fraud or crime, is a direct, mind you, direct incitement to violence, illegal violence, and or insurrection or rebellion. Everything else, to include hate speech, is protected by the First Amendment, because we don't need a constitutional amendment to protect speech that is popular.
Okay. Well, that's
so
where he got
that straight. Hate speech is protected by the First Amendment, provided it doesn't fall into one of the parameters that I just listed. You can't solicit criminal acts. You can't solicit violent acts. You can't solicit for insurrection and rebellion against the United States. All right? You can't do those. Those things are forbidden. Those things are criminal, can be criminally sanctioned. Everything else is supposed to be on the table. The government can't mess with you. Now, your employer might be able to fire you or something like that. You might have to face criticism of your fellow citizens, sure. But the government can't do a damn thing to you, period. End of story.
Okay.
No arguing about it.
Okay.
Yes, hate speech is constitutional.
Okay. Well, he's also now making money on Donald Trump. He used the reverse Donald Trump. So if you go to Nick Fuentes' page, even his Wikipedia, it will say this. Dear reader, this Tuesday your support is requested by a nonprofit that hosts Wikipedia and other free knowledge projects. Your donations support the technology that makes the project possible. He's asking for donations. Please donate $2 or whatever seems right. Thank you. So there he goes. There he goes. He collaborated with Patrick Casey. He's a former leader of the neo-Nazi organization Identity Europa. Fuente's followers, known as the Grail Peers, began to heckle Turning Point Culture War Tour, including a speaking event for Donald Trump. Now, see, this is the thing. He's been after Trump for a while, and Trump is not paying attention. He belittled Trump. He told Trump in his face that he's doing the wrong thing. I am here to put you on the right. You're off. Put you on the right track. Donald Trump goes, okay. He didn't fight back. And while he was saying this to Donald Trump, he was supporting Santos, and he gave his full support to Santos while he was talking to Donald Trump, saying, okay, we got to get back on the right track. You're acting like an asshole, and you got to do this. You're getting off of message. We got to put you back. So I'm here as a messenger to send you back. Now, he wasn't invited. That was Yee's friend. And then you have to wonder, how did this white supremacist, see, this is telling me how goofy we are. How does this white supremacist is with this black, a black, blackie is a black man in the same car? What is going on with white supremacy? I mean, are they doing an affirmative action program? I have never heard of white supremacy have a best friend who's a rapper named Kanye. Said, yeah, my friend Kanye, let's go. See, this is what blows my mind. Are we in another, is this the new world order? That I'm gonna, this white supremacist is going to use his blackface to get in touch with the former president of the United States of America, most powerful man in the world. What happened to, it's blowing me away. He's an American white supremacist. He's a political commentator and live streamer, a former YouTuber. This guy, Donald Trump Jr., let me see. He went at speaking events for Donald Trump Jr. in 2020. He's seeking to establish a white supremacist conference to rival CPAC. He's doing everything against the Republicans in front of their faces. He was at CPAC, but yet he's trying to do another conference to rival them. He's taking their donors. He's telling Donald Trump, hey, you're going off the rails here, but yet he's putting full support on Santos. This guy is trying to blow the shit up. This shit is getting serious now, and I kind of feel for Donald Trump. We're going to get more into it. This guy is blowing his, what white supremacists will go ahead and be friends with Kanye? You got to ask, what's going on here? So just a little bit more. Fuentes attended the 2017 white supremacist rally in Charlottesville and later was an attendee and speaker at events preceding the 2021 state capitol attack. He has encouraged the use of jokes and irony among white nationalist groups, stating that it's so important for giving a lot of cover. Let me tell you, here's what I really think. This guy's a joke. Nobody took him seriously. His name is not, he's not the king of white supremacy. He's one of these idiots, these little, we've been bullied, nobody takes him seriously. But since Donald Trump put him in a light and he came out of the shadows, this guy now has some credibility because there's no way in hell that I knew about this guy and most America didn't know about this guy and I'm sure he wasn't on many people's watch list and they had to go find out who this guy is. He has a website I'm not going to give you, but I have it in front of me. Oh, well, you should do it. You know, Donald Trump has this thing called America First. He has a website called America First on Demand. So he's trying to capitalize off of Donald Trump right now. He has people with MAGA hats on here. He is ripping Donald Trump off like you would not believe, taking his shit and trying to start a new party. He's trying to sell his own stuff called AS, maybe as fuck, I don't know. He's a joke. He's a joker, he's an idiot, and the GOP must stop him now. Okay, so that's what happened, and we're going to give you the facts later, but remember what I said, once they find that there's a crack into their leader's thing, they jump on it. And here's Mike Pence right now, who never said nothing about Donald Trump. Listen to what he has to say about that.
To give a white nationalist, an anti-Semite, and a Holocaust denier a seat at the table. And I think he should apologize for it, and he should denounce those individuals and their hateful rhetoric without qualification. With that being said, as I point out in the book as well, I don't believe Donald Trump is an anti-Semite. I don't believe he's a racist or a bigot. I would not have been his vice president if he was. And you know, people often forget the president's daughter converted to Judaism. Yep. His son-in-law is a devout Jew. His grandchildren are Jewish. And so the broad brush of attack that media leveled at him. But I think the president demonstrated profoundly poor judgment in giving those individuals a seat at the table. And as I said, I think he should apologize for it. He should denounce them without qualification.
Now, Pence said that, and some people say he's brave. Now, some of the comments about Pence saying that, and these are people saying, poor Pence, Fate certainly did a number on him. Another person says who? I don't acknowledge this person as anyone who should lecture about what others should do. Another person said, this guy is a modern-day Benedict Arnold. The day forward, I dub the term, don't pence me. Look at all them pences. I'm going to pence these folks. So Pence is not winning over any Republicans. One lady says, Pence should apologize to the kids he hurt. Another person says, I never had good feelings for Pence, and now I know why. Okay, Pence is in a situation where he did not pick a side. And now if he does, he looks like an asshole. All the times where Trump was wrong, he had to pick a side. He'd be with the president, he'd have these little vanilla answers. People don't respect. Nobody respects Pence. You got another thing. It's called The Opinion. This is coming from, it's called Mass Live. GOP needs to distance itself from Trump. It's an editorial by the Republicans' editorials. I'm only going to read it shortly. If you were surprised to learn that former President President J. Donald Trump recently had dinner at his Florida home with a longtime Holocaust denier, you perhaps haven't been paying much attention to the doings of the Donald. Plainly put, the former reality TV star doesn't always associate with people whose character is beyond reproach. So to have learned that Trump dining at Mar-a-Lago Club with Nick Fuentes as white supremacist pundit and organizer could easily have been seen as just same Donald being Donald, and that's all there is. And it's true. But shouldn't other Republicans have been outraged? I mean, you would think so. But no, if you missed the outcry from those, the former president's orbit, you can be forgiven because it was neither loud nor clear. It was largely non-existent. This was another missed opportunity in the former president's decision to dine with Prentice presented reasonable. Okay, I'm not going to go on with that. You get the idea. The left really wants you guys to do your slings and arrows and shoot Donald Trump. Mocking like little children. Nah, what are you going to do now? How come you guys are not coming out? If you guys don't come out, then your guys are this. If you don't come out and protect Trump, you guys are this. Oh, you're really quiet. And this child play. And I'm a Democrat. Gets to me. You already know what's happening at the far-right news. You know what's happening at the left-wing news. Danny called me up and says, what news do I believe? Here's the deal, folks. To get through this bullshit and the smokes and the mirrors, it's a distraction. This is all a distraction. Who the fuck cares? If it did not hurt you or shock you when Trump says there are good people on both sides, or when he talked about other things and says, well, I heard they like me. I really don't know. If that already didn't shock you, then this means nothing. This is stupid. So what? Is it against, you got to ask yourself the basic things. Is this against the law to have, how many of us have had lunch in our lifetime, dinner in our lifetime, gone out in our lifetime with somebody who was prejudiced and not on board, even if you're black? How many times have you gone out with somebody that was racist? Your best friend talking about white people, but white people are crackers and this and this. How many times? I mean, we got to quit looking at this bullshit. Okay, hold on. 708, you're live on a you're live with Brian Hammer Jackson, 708. 602, you're live with Brian Hammer Jackson, 602.
Hey, good morning, Hammer. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? And your name? I think I remember you.
Pastor Don, Junior CEO, what's the business? Representing the 300, these numbers are the winning team.
You know I wanted you to say that, don't you?
Amen.
I already have your phone number. I know who you are. I just wanted you to say it. I know who you are.
Amen.
But Pastor Don,
yes, sir.
Yeah. I want to ask you, you're a pastor. You've been around all kinds of people. You've been around good people, bad people, and your business is bad people. That's your business, is to correct some bad people's behavior and make them believe and have faith. Am I correct?
Amen.
Okay. But you, as a man, you've been around some good people who you thought were good people, but maybe they were racist. Maybe they said some racist shit.
Oh, yeah.
And in your heart, you go,
all day long.
Now, Pastor Don, you're a pastor and you're above this, but should you not be friends with, let's say we're making up a friend, Daryl. You've been friends with Daryl since grade school. You grew up with Daryl. Daryl's now your marketing department director. But Daryl said some shit about some hoes that he shouldn't be saying. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or Daryl said some shit about somebody else, about some white dude, right? So you're Pastor Don, Jr., CEO with the winning team. That shit's going to be leaked out. Now I get the headline.
Yep.
I'm reading the paper, and it says, oh, what's this? What's up with Pastor Don, Jr., CEO with the winning team? He's hanging around with racist people? He's calling people hoes? And I'm reading this.
No,
what am I going to do
with
you?
Don't get down like that. I'm personally,
I can't go on this.
This is a hypothetical situation?
This is all hypothetical. You don't know. I don't have a friend named Daryl. This is all hypothetical.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say is that we have all, I have been around people who have said things, disparaging things about women and other races. We all have.
Amen.
And I'm saying, the point of what I'm trying to say is, so now Donald Trump having some dinner with some people like Kanye. Do I personally think Kanye's a racist? No. I think Kanye's just mental. I think he's crazy.
Yeah,
I really
very
do.
Very crazy.
I really do. But so when you get the headline, Kanye's an anti-Semite because he might have said some shit, and that's my point when I was trying to do a hypothetical, Pastor Don, that we have some friends in our past, right? And all of a sudden they said some shit, but they're good people, right? And we still stay with them because they're friends. So now the headlines is that Brian Hammer Jackson is hanging around with racist people and people who disparage women and think they're hoes. I go, yeah.
Well, you know, negative news travels twice as fast as positive news. If you go smack somebody, they're going to tell about that on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But if you have all the way across the street, nobody want to talk about that.
Right. But should we care, Pastor Don? Junior,
yeah.
Should we care?
Yes, we should.
I mean, should you care about the friends I hang with? Is that who I am? Should you care if whatever event I attend, am I still a good person? Am I still a guy on the radio? Am I still the guy who tries to get the answer? Should you really care?
I mean, that's a personal preference. Everybody has their own right and their own opinion who they roll with. But if you run around telling people, hey, this is my guy, this is who I'm associated
with,
well, yeah, you should care.
Right. All right, then let's bring in Snoop Dogg.
Would they have the age-old phrase, guilty by association?
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Or you're the company you keep or something like that. I think there's another phrase like that, too.
Amen.
Let's say Snoop Dogg. You know, Snoop Dogg, he performed.
Okay.
He did a halftime show. He did a good halftime show with Jay-Z, I think, with somebody. But at the end of his performance, it was Mary J. Blige was there, too. You guys remember this. What was it, 2 years ago, whatever.
Okay.
Well, at the end of his performance, he did the Crip sign.
Oh, wow.
And I said, nigga, you got the national stage. You call yourself the pimp, and you finally made it in commercial because you really hung with a white girl named Martha Stewart. They thought it was some kind of thing, and you became a household name. You're supposed to be a gangster, and you still call yourself the original pimp, but yet you're doing commercials and everything. That ain't no pimp. Some people call you a sellout. Now, let's be honest.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I will say that. Raise your hand if you think Snoop Dogg is not a sellout. I see him doing commercials about beer. T-shirt.
Yeah, he did that Corona commercial.
Right, kissing Martha Stewart's ass, kissing on her. Come on.
I mean, that's a hard. I have no way to disagree with you because he was the most gangster rapper 20 years ago. Now he's in commercial Marvel. It don't add up.
It don't. And
that
he's still
thing.
Trying to keep his brand as a pimp here and a pimp there. We mean pimp here. You're pimping Corona. And you know who else? You know who else got called out as a sellout? And hanging in people. We're going with the white supremacist theory. Just hanging there. 50 cents. They're calling him a sellout. They got 50 cents is in a mall kissing white babies, for Christ's sake.
That's crazy.
50 cents is on a suit, and he's on some of these talk shows acting like a fool. What's her name? She just went off the air, but you know what I'm saying. But he's kissing babies in the mall, and he's trying to get his image and everything. Hell, 50 cents, every time he used to wake up, he used to get shot. This is a man. This guy was the toughest son of a bitch I have ever seen in my life. You know, he was the toughest son of a bitch, man. This guy gets shot just waking up.
Hey, Brian, look.
Yeah.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room about this Trump thing, okay?
Okay.
Look,
you take it away first.
I'm gonna get it out the way first.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Okay?
I'm gonna let Pastor Don Jr., CEO, take care of his kid, and we're gonna come right back to him. That way he doesn't
go ahead.
Okay, baby. I know I'm on the air and I'm not supposed to be. That's how women feel when they meet me too. Okay. Oh, he feels good. Okay, Sarge, go.
All right, look. Let's deal right up with this dinner. So I'm not going to try to run away from it. I'm going to deal directly with it. I'm going to say right off the bat that, Donald Trump needs to tighten his door, okay? Guest lists need to be tight and adhered to. Non-invitees probably should be shown the door or they could eat dinner in the kitchen. Everybody invited should be vetted, security, of course, checked by the Secret Service. Now, this was kind of careless and easily preventable. So let me say that right off the bat. I'm not running away from it. Now, beyond that, I attach little significance to it. Of course, it's an opportunity for those who hate Donald Trump to make literally a mountain out of a molehill. Now, the Democrats and some Republicans regularly take money from a Nazi collaborator who bragged about his time collecting the property of Jews who were getting put on the freight train to Auschwitz and Treblinka and Majdanek, all right? He brags about it, even though he says he's a Hungarian Jew, and I think that's a lot worse because 14, you're over
you
the age
to
reason.
The Democrats 15, again.
He was 15 years
too
old
long,
when the war ended,
sorry,
so he was
too
over
long
the age
make
of reason.
Right. I understand, but you
all
diverted
right, he was
to
over the
somebody
age
else
of reason.
And,
And
okay.
Democrats what? Regularly take money from him, Brian. Regularly.
Well,
right?
We're not talking about that, but I'm not.
I know we're not, and that's the problem. We're making
but
a mountain out of a molehill with this guy who almost nobody's
no,
heard
I'm just
of.
Saying. Sometimes people shoot themselves. Sometimes, and let's just be honest, Sarge. We're smart people. I cannot go to Trump's Mar-a-Lago, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, Donald, can he come out and play?" Trump knew who the guy was. Trump has a thing. He even said it. Deny. Trump has a thing.
I don't know who he is. You know,
come
I'm
on,
a
come on.
Thing. I'm not that familiar with the guy.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue with that because I cannot prove it, but Trump does have a thing about deny. Let him try to prove it. Deny.
Oh,
okay.
Really? Like Biden? That's Hunter Lapp. That
again, you're diverting
me.
Back to Biden.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about Biden.
When you're a politician.
See, you're comparing. See, when I say something like that to Trump, you go back to a Democrat.
Yeah,
I'm saying even if they're doing it, it's wrong.
Politicians, but not, Trump has left.
I'm saying they're wrong too.
And these rats do.
I'm saying
look,
they're wrong
look,
too.
Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, now you're going
make,
with Nancy.
I'm
waiting for
Hillary. Yeah, because this what we got two of the we got the biggest anti-Semites in Congress are rats. Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and others. When they want to make
point?
A resolution condemning anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiments, they made a general statement. When it came to specifics that Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib had made, Nancy Pelosi
but
vetoed
Sarge,
that when it came
you
to her
you haven't answered that Trump
statement.
Being accountable. What you did was just divert me back. You diverted to a Democrat without
because
holding him
Democrats
accountable.
Get away with murder when it comes to anti-Semitism.
So you're saying that Republicans
get away
should
get, with murder.
You're saying that Republicans should do murder
now,
too.
Now let's talk about Joe Biden. He is the president.
We're not talking about Joe Biden because nobody's holding Donald Trump accountable.
I know we're not, and that's the problem.
No,
why do they keep getting
not.
Away with far worse indications of anti-Semitism than this little concertone?
No, sorry, that's not. We're,
I mean,
because
don't
we're holding,
you ask your question, why is that?
No, because
I mean, it's not like he was meet with Calypso Louis Farrakhan or Al Sharpton or something like that, huh? Or maybe Robert Byrd, the Grand Kleagle of the KKK, who Biden regularly praised. Good Lord, man. I mean, it's really a bit. I mean, yeah, we get exhausted saying, yeah, what about him? You said little or nothing about him when this happened. Now you're making literally a mountain out of a molehill. I never heard this guy Fuentes, really. I heard the name vaguely. I'm not. Now he's famous. Man, this is just, look, Kanye West is probably mentally ill to some degree. He's also talented and very rich. Everybody's mad at him right now. And in his mind, he thinks he's got a shot to become president of the United States. He says he's going to run. Kanye West knows the forerunner in the Republican Party nomination is Donald Trump, or any nominee, whether he runs as independent, whatever the hell he might run as, I don't know. So Kanye West apparently sandbagged Trump by bringing a toxic figure to Mar-a-Lago, busted him without an invitation, trading on both his fame and his friendship with Trump. Now, in Ye's mind, which is mentally ill, I suspect, and warped, it serves two purposes. One, to unseat Trump as a competitor for the presidency, which he thinks apparently he is. Remember, Ye is nuts to some degree. I don't know how much, but to some degree, and to curry favor with the Trump-hating forces who might vote for Kanye if he could just rid himself of the stain of his former friendship with Trump. And now the media's having a field day. Okay? Now, even Fuentes admitted that Trump didn't invite him, didn't know him, and didn't know he was coming. Please, look, wow. I'm not going to be led around a Rosie and have them put a ring in my nose and get me all upset about this. Is nuts. This is typical of this mainstream press and this double, triple, quadruple, quintuple standard that these bastards constantly do when it comes to the sins of the progressive left and the demon rat party. And you know it, Brian. Now, only in the United States can a black man and a Mexican be involved in a white supremacist plot. Only in the United States.
Only in America.
Yeah, that's only in the United States.
Only in America.
I swear to God, man, I feel like I'm living in a bizarro world.
Hey,
that
I,
is an
I
alternative
didn't make this story
universe.
Up. I did not make this story up.
How about this? You know, you got the first mainstream African-American articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. Poor kids just as bright as white kids. In Delaware, the largest growth of population is the Indian Americans. Move them to India. You can't go to a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts. You got a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking. Not a joke. Well, I tell you what. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, then you ain't black. Oh, we got to recognize that a kid wearing a hoodie may very well be the next poet laureate and not a gangbanger. I mean, this fool says this all the time. Oh, it's just old Scranton Joe being old Scranton Joe. He's probably reminiscing about his times when he was throwing hands with Corn Pop. Give me a break, Brian. I'm not falling for it. You shouldn't either.
Why aren't you, instead of diverting for somebody else, why don't you hold Trump
not
accountable?
Not diverting.
You are diverting to other parties, the Democrat Party,
and I
but
should,
you're not
in this case,
elaborating on
given
Trump,
the level
what he
of
did.
Outrage over this and the lack of outrage and far worse incidents with the Democrat Party, yes, I should be diverting. Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing because I think it needs to be diverted.
Okay.
Let me go back to another thing, and this is even more significant, I think, because this is policy, Brian. This is policy. This isn't some stupid dinner with a mentally ill rapper
and his uninvited friend.
Okay,
Sarge,
listen
hold
to this
that
now.
Thought.
Wait, Sarge, hold that thought.
Seriously, I'm going to let you listen to it. I want to hear it. I got somebody on Facebook who wants to talk to you, and they're saying something. But Sarge, hold that thought. When we come back, Sarge is going to finish his thought. I say, I don't care who they are, what party they are, Democrats, Independents, whatever, I hold the person accountable. Sarge has a point with saying, okay, we're going to make a big thing out of this, but what about this? I'm saying I understand that, and I'm not saying that, you know, that's not happening. That is happening, but I'm going to hold him accountable. So I'm going to let Sarge finish what he has to say. There's somebody on Facebook it's an old person from the show who wants to come in and talk to Sarge, but I want to vet them first because I want to make sure that they're not being an idiot. So hold your thoughts, Sarge. We'll be right back. I'm with you.
I'm used to dealing with idiots. Don't worry about it, Brian. I got a very good track record with
idiots. No, this guy likes to disturb and throw a grenade in a thing, you know.
And I've had to deal with great showers of grenades, too, and I came out okay. Don't worry about it. I'm okay.
All right. I still want to vet this. All right. We'll be right back with Sarge's reply on this. It's interesting. We'll be right back. I'm just going to mute everybody. Don't go away.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. You know, I'm just like my country. I'm young, crappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm a dead scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is a lot of brains with no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough. A shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal. My power of speech, unimpeachable. Only 19, but my mind is older. These New York City streets get cold. I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage. I've learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk these streets famished. The plan is to fan this fuck into a flame. But damn, it's getting dark, so let me spell out the name. I am the A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. We are meant to be a colony that runs independently. Meanwhile, Britain keeps shitting on us endlessly. Essentially, they tax us relentlessly. Then King George turns around, runs a spending spree. He ain't never gonna set his descendants free. So there will be a revolution in this century. Enter me,
he says in parentheses.
Don't be shocked when your history book mentions me. I will lay down my life if it sets us free. Eventually, you'll see my ascendancy. And I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot.
I dream of life without a monarchy. The unrest in France will lead to anarchy. Anarchy, how you say? How you say? Oh, anarchy. When I fight, I make the other side panicky with my shit.
Yo, I'm a tailor's apprentice. And I got y'all knuckleheads and local parentis. I'm joining a rebellion, cause I know it's my chance to socially advance. Instead of sewing some pants, we're gonna take a shot.
And but we'll never be truly free until those in bondage have the same rights as you and me. You and I do or die. Wait till I sally in on a stallion with the first black battalion, have another shot.
Geniuses, lower your voices. You keep out of trouble and you double your choices. I'm with you, but the situation is fraught. You've got to be carefully taught. If you talk, you're gonna get shot.
Bird, check what we got. Mr. Lafayette, hard rock like Lancelot. I think your pants look hot. Lawrence, I like you a lot. Let's hatch a plot, blacker than the kettle calling the pot. What are the odds of God you put us all in one spot? Pump in a squad and conventional wisdom, like it or not. A bunch of revolutionary manumission abolitionists. Position, show me where the ammunition is. Oh, am I talking too loud? Sometimes I get overexcited, shoot off at the mouth. I never had a group of friends before. I promise that I'll make y'all proud.
Let's get this guy in front of a crowd.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
Imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? In my sleep, 7 feet ahead of me. If I see it coming, do I run or do I let it be? Is it like a beat without a melody? See, I never thought I'd live past 20. Where I come from, some get half as many.
Ask anybody why we live it fast and we laugh, reach for a blast. We have to make this moment last. That's plenty, scratch that. This is not a moment, it's the movement. We're all the hungriest brothers with something to prove. When foes oppose us, we take an honest stand. We roll like Moses, claiming our promised land. And if we win our independence, that a guarantee of freedom for our descendants. But with the blood we shed, begin an endless cycle of vengeance and death with no defendants. I know the action in the street is exciting, but Jesus, between all the bleeding and fighting, I've been reading and writing. We need to handle our financial situation. Are we a nation of state? What's the state of our nation? I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately smashing every expectation, every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties and sorrow. For the first time I'm thinking past tomorrow.
And I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey yo, I'm young like my country. I'm young, scrappy and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. We gonna ride, throwing away my shot. We gonna ride, throwing away my take a shot. We gonna rise up, rise up.
Time to take a shot.
Rise up, rise up.
Time to take a shot.
Rise up, rise up.
Time to take a shot.
Rise up, rise up.
Time to take a
shot.
You're right, I believe that. Gotta rise up. Do you live on your knees or die on your feet? I don't buy that excuse. And thank you, Pastor Don Jr., CEO, for allowing me to use you as a hypothetical situation, meaning that in our lives we cannot control our friends. And pastor's work, the good pastor, Don Jr., CEO, his business is this, evil and temptation and greed and corruption. This is what clergy fight. This is what they do. This is why they exist, to remind them that there is faith. There is honor. But you got to have courage to get it. I don't buy the example of the two children. And I called down. I said, one of the kids are my kids. And I said, my kid, Bobo. I like the name of my kid, Bobo. I like the name, Bobo. Bobo, what up? What am I hearing about you messing up Miss Adams' car? And Bobo says, well, it wasn't just me, it was Johnny too. And Johnny was a good one, but Johnny did it to four cars. So why look at me? I don't like that, because I got to hold Bobo accountable for his action, what Johnny did. And so he wants to avert me, and I'm going to go, oh, Johnny, I'm so shocked at you, because you were a nice kid, and why did you do that? And I forgot all about Bobo. I'm thinking, you were the leader of this, Johnny. I had some hope for it. But see, that doesn't wash with me. Is that the argument I'm hearing from you, Sarge? Is that I'm not holding Donald Trump accountable, but why don't you bring out the bad things about the Democrats on the other side? Look what they did. But I still haven't heard you hold Donald Trump accountable. Sarge.
I just did. I started out holding him responsible for this gaffe. But I'm not elevating it to a mountain. It's a molehill. The press is elevating it to a mountain. When I gave my response and my opinion on this, one of the first things I did was say he needs to tighten up the guests, keep the uninvited guests out, make sure they're better vetted. I said that at the beginning. I said this is a self-inflicted wound. I made that clear. But it is the outright emphasis on it to the exclusion of the infinitely worse examples of anti-Semitism that the press regularly excuses in progressives and demon rats. Regularly. And let me give you an example. Before the break, I'll give you an example of something that relates to policy, okay? Governmental administrative policy. And I'm talking about the Biden administration that's in office right now. Now, back in 2001, the United Nations World Conference Against Racism, Xenophobia, and Intolerance was held in Durban, South Africa, okay? Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but I remember how intense it was. I remember very vividly that conference. Now that conference descended into a grotesque demonization of Israel and Jews, generally, with protesters there distributing leaflets saying Hitler should have finished the job. And the final declaration that the Durban Conference came up was riddled with anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism, and there was scant condemnation of it by the attendees at the conference. You go back and look at it for yourself, because I did. Now, the 10th anniversary of this conference was lauded by the Biden administration. They just did it last year in March.
Okay.
March 30th,
but you still,
2001.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Now, wait,
fine.
Now this is policy now. Even the Obama administration boycotted the conference. Obama didn't want to have nothing to do with it because he knew it stank to high heaven. But
Obama got caught. Obama got caught.
Wait a minute. One more thing. You got to remember one thing about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the utmost personification of a corruptocrat, a hollow man with no ideas of his own. It just so happens that he can maintain his corrupted power. He can stay in and keep getting money. And the allies that just happen to be buoying him up are those who believe in all this progressive insanity. He doesn't believe a damn thing of it himself, probably not really. He's too stupid. He's too adult to even know what it all means. He only cares about are these people enabling his corruption, and they are.
Okay.
So he allies himself with them and does everything, does their bidding and everything they put in his little marionette head.
Okay. Number one, nobody likes a politician. But the only reason we vote for them is because they have our agenda. That's the only reason. We're not voting for them because they're the honest, most honest people in the world and that they're non-corruptible people, if there's such a word. We're not voting for them because they look nice and they said that propaganda of the American way. We're voting for these corrupt assholes because they can help progress our agendas, whether our agenda is abortion. Well, our agenda is not abortion. Well, our agenda is civil rights. Well, our agenda is not civil rights. Well, our agenda is defund the police. Our agenda is not to defund the police. This is why we both vote. We're not. So when you talk about Biden and you talk about Trump and everything and who's honest, who's not honest, and they do the same thing, you're saying the same thing. You're talking to the choir. Nobody in this planet thinks that there is such a thing called an honest politician. And if you think there is an honest politician, my God, I would like to meet you. The honesty, when we check ourselves, we have to check ourselves. And when we check ourselves, we find out why we vote for these people. Why are people voting for Herschel Walker? God, he cannot be the brilliant guy in the world. And it cringes to me, and I'm going to tell you this. It cringes me when I hear people attack Herschel Walker because he's not the brightest guy in the world, that he's dumb. And I don't think he's dumb. I really think you got to remember when Herschel Walker played football, we played for, if you got a concussion, we put some dirt on your helmet until you get back in there. A lot of these football players now who are dying or getting their brains to science and they're finding out there's a lot of damage going on there. But unfortunately, they cannot tell the damage while you're still alive. And I think if you listen to him talk and you see how he talks, this guy could be suffering from some CT issues. He was a running back. He got hit in the head a lot. So I cringe. I really do cringe. And I really praise Raphael in the beginning. Now it's getting dirty. And the politics are coming out. That he didn't really touch on Walker that much. He didn't go after him that Walker's slow. He didn't go after that Walker's crazy. He didn't go after, I can't understand what the fuck Walker is saying. And I know he's a reverend, I should say reverend, because he is, pastor. Is he a pastor or reverend? Pastor? Pastor Don Jr., CEO? Is it reverend or is it pastor Raphael? I think it's pastor. Pastor Raphael.
He says he's a pastor. You know, Ebenezer Church, Martin Luther King.
Right.
Old clergy.
Right.
I mean, flock.
Right.
Yeah.
And how would it look at a pastor going after someone? I mean, think about it. Your hands must be tied.
Well, why should he do it? He's got the henchmen to do it for him, for God's sake. Come on,
that way still represents him.
He could be like Pontius Pilate. He's got to wash his hands clean of the affair.
I understand. But still, so what I'm – and it cringes me for any black man to go after any black man who is trying to reach the top, and it's not at his own fault. You know what I mean? He's just there. And it really hurts my heart.
The Democratic Party put a brain-damaged individual up for senator in Pennsylvania? I mean, good God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I say that's a wash, okay?
No,
that's a wash.
If you want to call Biden brain-damaged, so you're saying even a brain-damaged person beat your guy. But what I'm trying to
say is, look, I guarantee you, whatever damage CTE or whatever Herschel Walker might have suffered, he's nowhere near as brain damaged as Fetternek is.
And he still beat your guy. He still beat your guy.
And then
wait a minute, Fetternek,
he's
not brain damaged.
What is that guy about the voters
of
Pennsylvania? Maybe
the guy
early voting has something to do with
stroke.
It. Maybe all those people who did the early voting... Maybe that's why they shouldn't have early voting
come
like they
on.
Do.
Come on, you're being silly.
Do you think
silly.
All of those Fetterman's people cast a vote for Fetternek like 2 months before the election or 40 days before the election, whatever it is in Pennsylvania, do you think they might have voted for him had they not had such early voting in Pennsylvania? I don't think so.
What I'm trying to say to you.
And they'd be able to see what he actually was in that debate? Good okay. Lord.
What I'm saying is,
I don't even think Pennsylvania voters are that nuts. To vote a grotesquerie like that, he looks like a reject from Frankenstein experiment.
Oh,
and he can't even talk. And his wife is going to be running his Senate seat. She's already edging him out and pictured. I've never seen anything like this.
You know what I see?
When the Democrats did that to the country?
Okay. See, you're going for your agenda.
Come on, Brian.
You know what? You see, you're going for your agenda. What I see is most strokes can kill people. Most strokes have put people in the ground. Most strokes have paralyzed you to such a point that you're a vegetable. This man had a freaking stroke, and he is battling this stroke, and he's coming. He's not the goodest.
And that's
the
reason to vote for him?
No, the reason to vote for him is his policies. But I'm just saying we cannot. Let's not.
What policies? You mean the ones he just forswore? All of a sudden,
you see what you did right there? Okay.
I listened to the man. I actually studied the campaign,
okay.
Brian.
Okay.
I mean, he literally ran away from the things he had espoused support or opposition to when he got up there on that stage. He literally lied.
Okay.
About his
what
own past performance, and he didn't do it in a very articulate manner. He did it. Good night. Good night, everybody. What?
Yeah, he was battling the
guy's brain addled.
Don't do that, Sarge. You're better than that.
He may recover, but wait. You know what? If you're going to vote on, why don't you wait until he recovers from the stroke?
Because he can still he knows it's not about affecting how he governs. It's affecting his speech. But he can still reason. He can still comprehend. He can still
do
the job.
How do we know that for sure? When he can't
express
it.
No,
how do we
know
that
for
sure?
Because his doctors have ran tests on him.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, man. Given the fact that I expected Mr. Glib, Pastor Warnock, who constantly uses the spoken word, has a cudgel and a means of persuasion as a pastor, I expected him to mop the floor with Herschel Walker in the debate. I expected him to whip him up one side and down the other. I thought it was going to be like the biggest blowout football game you could possibly imagine. And guess what? Herschel Walker not only held his own at the debate, he actually bested him in a TKO. He might
That's
not have knocked Warner
it.
Out, but he TKO'd
okay.
him over the course of
you
the
are,
fight.
You're right about one thing. He could have wiped the floor with him. But as being a pastor and being a man and probably honoring another black man,
he
didn't want
evasive.
To tear him down.
I
said he held restraint.
I
said
he
put restraint on it because he did not, being a pastor and a man of the cloth, he did not
want to
tear another black man down. No, that's how I look at it. He did not want to ruin another
black
man's life.
He was asked specific questions about policy, and he was evasive. He wouldn't answer them directly or completely. Didn't have anything to do with tearing another black man down.
No, we leave the black man down. That's a space we leave for the black women.
Wait, you're not hearing me, man. I watched. Do you think I'm
black
capable
women.
Of analysis, Brian? Brian, do you think I'm
men
capable of analysis?
Usually the women will. I'm sorry, we're gonna leave that.
Wait, Brian, do you think I'm
It'll
capable of analysis? Because I watched the debate.
Yeah.
I'm
trying
to explain to you, it wasn't about
who
was going to tear who down. They were asked specific questions about policy, and Walker did a better job explaining his position.
Okay, but my point is this.
Warnock was evasive and weaselly.
My point is this. We're holding people to a guideline that no human being could fill, meaning in your lifetime. If you look into my lifetime, I mean, the people on this show that came on this show, since I've been on the air for 10 years, I've had transgesters, trans people who are funny. They're transgesters. I've had trans people on this show. They said, I love you, Brian. And I said, I love you, them. Gave me a kiss. I gave them a kiss. And look, every man is me. I've had controversial people. I had people who were racist on this show for a while. And they were on this show, and I knew they were racist. What, every word they spiel was racist. They were so racist, they were even racist at their own people. They were so racist. I go, damn. But if you would have said, well, O'Brien has a show of nothing but racism, so O'Brien must be a racist. And my point is what I'm trying to say, and I did this scenario. Again, everybody, it was a scenario, and I want to thank Pastor Don Jr., CEO, to participate in the scenario that come our way, that we will have friends that, and we're not responsible for their background or how they grew or the mistakes they have done, but maybe we can understand it and forgive the mistakes they have done and judge them for who they are today. Now, what I'm trying to say is I don't care if Donald Trump, and we should not care if Donald Trump hosts a white supremacist. So what? I don't care if now they're calling, not even calling him Kanye West anymore. They're calling him a neo-Nazi. I don't believe Kanye or Ye is a neo-Nazi. They're using that now. They're using that as a title. They even get you more pissed off. That neo-Nazi. I go, what? Are, who? Oh, Ye. He's not a neo-Nazi, but boy, crazy. That's all he is. He's crazy. And like you were saying, well, let's get the joke. A black dude picks up a white supremacist. He gets in the car. They drive to the White House. Come on, y'all. Stop. Just stop it. So what I'm trying to say to you, Sarge, is when you start switching, well, what about this and what about this? That's my point. We cannot live up to that, and we should not care. This is not even a story, and I do agree with Sarge. Well,
yeah, but Brian, there's such a thing, look, like I said, we're all sinners. I really believe that. I'm not particularly religious, but I do believe all human beings are born with being sinners and sin throughout their lifetime. That certainly includes politicians who are probably more prone to be so than most normal people are, okay?
Right.
That's a given. So what I'm going to do, Brian, is whether it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Kanye West, I'm going to look at their sum total of their attributes, their assets, and weigh them against their liabilities. I'm going to sum them up on both sides. And I'm going to weigh it in the balance. Which outweighs which? Do the assets outweigh liabilities? In the case of Donald Trump, there is no doubt in my mind that his assets and the things he did for this country as President of the United States far outweigh his liabilities. In the case of Joe Biden, his liabilities infinitely outweigh anything positive he may have done for the United States. And that's the basis upon which I will make decisions about them.
Sounds good. And we vote for people to progress our agenda. Some people's agenda is Donald Trump is good for me, hardly paying any taxes, and I like his tax plans or whatever. That's my agenda. That's good.
Your vote is sacred. You got a right to vote for or against anybody you want for any reason you want. You ain't got to tell
for
nobody
your agenda.
When you go into that private voting booth. It's your reason. It could be selfish reasons. It could be for racist reasons. It could be for altruistic reasons. Whatever. It's your vote.
Whatever
but I'm
going to
tell you right now. I think at some point you have an obligation to look at what's best for the nation and most of the people in it. Sometimes you might even vote against what might be your own particular self-interest.
Good.
That's the ideal. I know we don't attain it. I know we rarely attain it, Brian. But I would implore people to look outside of their small, cloistered circles.
Seriously, yeah. Okay.
I'd implore them to, because let's look at what Donald Trump did. Gas price per gallon was about $2.30 on average in the United States when Trump left office. Inflation was 1.4%. Mortgage rates were half of what they are now. Employment was low before COVID and before all these blue state governors shut down everything permanently. We were in the midst of a V-shaped recovery. Taxes were decreased. Tax loss more to small business. We had energy independence, no green agenda, no war on energy, no Paris Treaty, no war in Ukraine, no threat of nuclear war. NATO was paying its way. China was quiet. We were starting to win the trade war. Biden lost the Afghanistan war and armed 470,000 Taliban.
I could go point.
I mean, what do I have to do to say, hey, Donald Trump did mostly good for the United States. Mostly.
But it comes down to one thing. I can go point for point with you, but it comes down to one thing and one thing only, abortion. You know what? I was really surprised. I was really surprised.
Think about that for a minute.
What?
Any human life is important to a lot of people around here.
I thought I was going
to
end it.
Well, like, killing people, because every time you have a stressful abortion, you kill somebody. Every time. Think, if this is really the hill people want to die on, I want to have the right to kill people at a whim, to take human life at a whim, and I don't want any state to regulate it whatsoever. Think about where we are morally as a nation.
Right. Well, I don't want to go down that wormhole because I got this other stuff. You're going to be – these other news
well,
are going
to help you. I think it's worthy to at least consider, don't you? You know, back when
I was pro-abortion, but here's the one thing that differentiated me from all the other people who were pro-abortion. This is not going to solve it. No matter what you think of abortion, no matter what I think of abortion, it's not going to move the needle.
Everybody else who I knew was pro-abortion. Everybody else I knew was pro-abortion said you're not really taking a human life.
What you think about abortion and what
I
think is not going to move the needle anywhere.
That's homicide, but it's a justifiable homicide. You know, because after all, I've killed people. You know, like you do it in war, or like you do it as a self-defense, or
okay,
lawful execution, when the state finds somebody guilty and they impose a death penalty. I at least acknowledge the humanity of what was being destroyed.
You know,
the argument I'm going to give you
is years and years of the 1950s and the 1940s and the 1930s where black people have died for their rights. They have died for a right to go to the bathroom. They have died for a right to they can eat in a place. They prayed for a time where they can walk down the street and not a dog will jump on them and bite them and cops hit them with hoses and beat them down and getting hung like strange fruit. And I dream of the time that we don't have to worry about that. I dream of a time, and I honor you and I respect you so much, that a black man doesn't have to fear that the police, when he stops him on a dark road, that he's not going to be shot for some reason. And the cops will say, I thought he had a gun. To this day, we still have that fear. I dream of that, that we don't have the fear anymore of the badge. See, so when you talk about abortion, and you talk about killing someone, I talk about abortion, and I go a little deeper, and I talk about their civil rights, that a person has the right to own their own body and to protect themselves. They have their civil rights and make a say-so about what they can do and what they cannot do. And they have the government come in and say, you have to have this, and you have no rights at all. So I am with the people with the civil rights. Because so many of us died for those rights, the right to have a decision. The rights of back in the slavery days when Massa used to rape our black women, and then they sell their little nannies, their little babies because they're white, part white, because they didn't want to be caught fucking a dark slave. And their babies were taken away from them because she had no right to own a person or own her own babies. So when I hear about abortion, I'm not thinking about abortion or killing. You're making a decision to kill somebody. I'm talking about taking somebody's civil rights away, taking their rights away, whether they make a good call, bad call. That's part of your rights to make. And we're not going to always agree on your rights. And if you make a decision, if it's a good decision, I may not always agree, but you have the right to do it. You have the right to make that decision. I don't have the right to take that away. So when you do talk about abortion, whether it's good or bad, when does a fetus become a human being, and when is it on conception, that's your right to tell me when do you think life starts. That's your opinion. That's your right. That's good. But it's my right to deny saying I don't think it starts then, that I don't think I got enough time that maybe I can abort a child before it becomes a human being. But that's my right to believe in that too. But to take my right away, where so many of us died just to have that right. And it's just, it was long ago when interracial marriage when they used to say it was against the law and they locked a nigga up for just having a relationship with a white girl. Worse than that, you're lucky if you got locked up. But a lot of times you were taken in the back and you got hung.
The problem is that the exercise of your right, as you see it, requires the citizens in every single state to accommodate it, and I think that is every bit as wrong, given the federalist nature of our Constitution. Now, they want to do that in California and New York. Supreme Court has made it clear they have the right to do so, and they don't have to worry about third trimester restrictions either. You understand? They can kill all the way up to the moment the baby's coming down the birth canal.
It doesn't
But
change.
We don't have to put up with it in Georgia. We don't have to put up with it in Alabama. We
so
don't have
you
to
don't
put
mind
up with
taking
a woman's
rights?
We
so
don't
in
want
Georgia,
California
you don't,
values
so in
Georgia,
you don't,
in Georgia.
You don't mind taking a woman's rights away. In Georgia,
we
you don't mind
don't
taking a
want California Georgia values in
That's
Georgia.
That's not the point
they
of what I'm trying to say
California.
To you. In Georgia, women don't
that.
Have any rights.
I don't
rights.
Mind taking away that right, not a bit. Because I think
okay,
the purpose
you don't
of
mind
government
gay, what about
is
gay,
to protect
what about gay marriage?
Life first and foremost
what
over
about
all
gay
everything
marriage?
Else.
Right now, gay marriage is on the docket.
I think that is the
like
primary purpose of government to protect innocent life.
So what about gay marriage? Do they have the right to get married? Or you want to take their rights away
now,
too?
Now, look, if they want to do it in New York and Las Vegas and California and New Jersey, let them do it there.
So, what
why
are
they
taking away people's rights?
50 states of the Union?
Sarge,
I mean, the Confederacy wanted slavery.
If you were white,
they
if
wanted
you were white
slavery
Georgia,
in the only 11 states of the Confederacy. In the Union states of Missouri,
if I ran out of gas
no.
in your town in Georgia, if you were a white cop in Georgia, I would run. I would run to the nearest border.
No, wait a minute.
Saying.
I'm the one saying don't kill people. You're saying to
Sarge.
Kill people and you're supposed to be scared of me?
I'm saying that it boils down to a simple thing of we didn't have, Sarge, come
yeah, I'm
on,
just
Sarge,
saying, why should the people
saw,
in Georgia
Sarge,
put up with
devotion.
What people in California
Sarge,
want to do?
You saw devotion. You saw the Tuskegee Airmen. You saw the Buffalo Soldier, the Black Buffalo Soldier, that the Indians
yeah, they
admired because
babies,
they were the best fighters in the world. Sarge, and we still couldn't vote. We didn't have a voice. We didn't even have a right. We didn't have a right to go to school. So when somebody takes their rights away, of all people should know this, should be us.
Wait a minute, what right was taken away? One that was made up
I'm
and hallucinated
saying,
by seven
women,
men
we're talking
on the
about
Supreme
the abortion
Court?
Issue,
seven
we're
men hallucinated
about
a right that isn't in the Constitution.
When you,
so what
when
right was taken away? One that didn't exist in the first place?
Your civil rights were taken away
at
for a woman to make a choice. For a woman to choose. For a woman
to
choose.
To choose what? Why
to
do you
choose
say choosing in the sentence there? What
to
is she
choose
choosing
not
to
have a baby.
What is the woman choosing to do?
Not to have
be
the baby.
Be specific. Stop being so vague.
I'm not being vague. I'm saying it as
do?
Long as I can. A woman has the right to choose whether she wants to have the baby or not. It's her body. It's her right. It's
it isn't
right.
her body. It's got a separate chromosomal structure. How can a male body be part of her body? How can a boy be part
oh,
of her
boy.
Body?
Sarge.
It's a separate body. It's not
You're
her body.
You're going to take me down the wormhole.
The body's
Sarge,
in her body.
Want...
Don't tell me the baby's
okay.
not viable. What baby is viable after it's born? It can't take care of itself.
Okay,
for two
it's her house,
yet.
And she is the
It'll
landlord.
Die without
and she can evict that tenant. How about that? It's her house. Her womb
baby,
is her house.
Baby can take
she
care
is
of itself
landlord,
right after it's born.
And she can
what
evict
baby can
that tenant.
Feed itself and give itself water?
Stop.
None.
Sarge.
They all need care.
This is... Sarge, we're at what we call an impasse. I'm not going to agree with you. I like you. I respect you. But this is where we are. We're at an impasse because I'm not going to agree with you, and you're never going to agree with me. And we only got 15
obviously,
minutes.
Obviously, but that's okay. Agreement is more, clarity is more important than
I
agreement.
I agree. So let's go to the – you made some great points, though, Sarge. You made some great points. And some people do believe it's murder. Some
yeah,
people
look,
believe
I, look, I believe in liberty, man. I believe in liberty over and above all things. Why I hate a capricious, arbitrary government. So I despise it. I despise a government that gets into every little aspect of your being. Tells you how to think, what to dress, what proper pronouns to use, all this other crap. I believe in liberty. So I understand the argument for liberty. I understand it thoroughly. It is part of my being. But I believe there are certain transcendent objective truths that have a higher value over and above all other
okay.
things. I believe that and fervently and absolutely, religiously, if you will. And I think the respect for innocent human life is one of them. That's almost at the very top of the pyramid.
And I respect that belief. And I didn't add on the time that all these white musicians from Tennessee used to steal our black music, and Elvis Presley was one of them, and claim it as their own and make millions of dollars and rip off our black artists. We can go on and on and on about being protective, and we can go on and on and on, and we could agree to disagree, and I know that you're a good man.
Yeah, but life is one of those things that without life, there's nothing.
I know.
Without life, there's nothing that could be accomplished. I mean, I hear the argument about, well, the poor, they'll be poor, they'll be brought up in miserable circumstances. How many success stories have you heard that started out that way? Come on.
I know.
You can prevail. There's a possibility of transcendence if you're alive.
Okay. Well, you're
it's ended
right.
If you get killed. It's over.
We got to.
Then your problem is sanitation. Got to get you underground before you start rotting and spreading disease, okay?
That's true.
And look, as long as you're alive, you got the possibility to transcend your circumstances.
That is true. So what I'm trying to say is that they set the bar, Sarge, you made a good argument, thank you. They set the bar to impossible. And there's no way a human being can reach the bar that each site wants us to set. We're human beings and we're flawed, and our friends are flawed. And we're not responsible for our friends and what they do. You know, I know my little friend Johnny is a great artist, but he has a little gambling problem. You know what I'm saying? But he writes great music. Or I know Tyrone, man. Me and Tyrone, he's my ride or die. He's been with me. He's writing. He writes some great music. He got a great poet. He got a little hoe problem. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not Christmas, but ho, ho, ho. There he goes every weekend, you know. But he has a family. I got to look the other way. I don't appreciate what Tyrone's doing, but he got to live his life. Now, do I break up with Tyrone? Do I say, you know what, man? You make some great rhymes. You got this. You got some great poems. We made the top 20. I got so many things, but you're cheating on your wife, man. I gotta get rid of you.
Hammer. I am so sorry. I got a news bulletin. I just found out Bruce Willis is dead. That's the fifth element of... I mean, that's a major part of American history and culture. And I'm sorry to interrupt your show, but Bruce Willis, my guy, that's one of my favorite actors. So I apologize, and I let y'all do what y'all do, but I want to know how you feel about it, Hammer.
Anytime,
oh,
man.
I'm sorry to hear that, too, man. Yeah, I really like Bruce Willis, man. Wow, he's gone?
Well,
he's gone,
you know.
Dead.
And I
passed
man,
over, and
I tell you, he first
dollars.
Came to my attention when that TV show Moonlighting came on. I thought he was so quick-witted and funny and witty and engaging. And that's when he first came to my attention on that TV show Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd. Remember that show?
Wait a minute.
Yep.
I got a report here, too. Hold on. Hold on. Before we bury Bruce, I got some news. It may not be necessarily true. I am glad. You know you're one of us, Pastor Don Jr., CEO.
Mm-hmm.
You can interrupt the show with news. You know that. You know that.
Yeah.
And I like it. Thank you, sir. And you brought it to my attention. Now, it ain't necessarily so. Bruce, here's the headline that I'm reading. Bruce Willis among latest stars targeted by death hoaxes.
Oh, wow.
Here it is.
Wow.
Many celebrities have been targeted of death hoaxes lately, and now Bruce Willis is among them, according to Snopes. This is a website recently posted false reports that Willis had passed away. The actor is very much alive.
Well, that's good to hear.
The outlet noted... Pastor Don,
I believe in phoning a friend and dialing Lifeline. I do apologize to anybody out there in the listening
audience. No.
You broke a great story
because this is going out, and you got the truth in. You did great.
Yes.
You
Amen.
Did
All right,
great,
well, great.
But here it is right here.
It gave Brian an opportunity to clarify it, and that's good because you know, at least people listening to us will be able to take it with a grain of salt and check it out for themselves.
Yeah. If it wasn't for you, Pastor Don Jr., CEO with the winning team, we wouldn't be saying how stupid people are. But still, according to this, it says the outlet noted that the same website also posted inaccurate death reports about Dwayne The Rock Johnson and country singers like Alan Johnson and Garth Brooks, and we know these people are alive.
Right.
See, the new now, report, how many times we said the best remedy for bad speech is more speech? That just goes to show you. See?
Right.
That's
the
it.
New report.
That's always
comes
the case. That's why any attempts to inhibit speech are pretty much almost always wrong.
Right.
Hmm.
Or
so
what
you know
I just read.
Ask Google, there's no secret. There's no secrets anymore.
Right. And so Bruce Willis is very much alive, people.
That means there's still a possibility that he'll be alive long enough for them to find a cure or a significant remedy for his condition.
Yeah, really.
And like I said, as long as you're alive, what I said just a minute ago, as long as you're alive, there's always the possibility you can transcend your bad circumstances.
Yeah, well, let's pray.
Amen.
Let's hope so. A good man, but what he's going through right now, oh man, I started to think for a minute, just a minute, death is good for him. You know, at least he doesn't have to suffer what he's going through right now. For what he's going through right now, oh my God, I don't know.
Man, think about it though, Brian. Think about how awful it must be to lose who you are, to be literally lose your identity and your knowledge and your memories of what made you who you are today. Especially if that's good in the main. You know, I mean, I can't think of a worse fate. I mean, it's like literally being living dead.
That's what I'm saying. My first reaction was, damn, at least he doesn't have to suffer through that bullshit that he's going through. And that he can't talk, he can't put sentences together, he can't comprehend, he can't communicate to the world, and he's losing who he is, and he's getting dementia. And not only that, you can't communicate. Nobody can understand. Oh, my God.
I know, man, because, I mean, I think everything I think of, every decision I make is based upon my life's experiences and my knowledge, my understanding of things. And if you lose that, how can you – I mean, if you lose that, what are you?
I don't know.
Some of our experiences and our knowledge and our, you know, and the memory of them.
Right.
Man, I would just hate to lose the memories I have of my late wife. I mean, good God. I mean, I cannot think of anything worse than losing my – I mean, whenever I want to get a warm and fuzzy feeling, I think of her.
And your kids.
Now, and to think that I would lose that, oh, man, I'd be losing one of the most – the memory of her is almost as important to me as her actuality was. I hate to lose the warm memories of my mother and my father and the times we had on vacation and your friends and your warm and pleasant experiences and all of that. I mean, it is just devastating to think that can happen to someone. They lose all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like with dementia or Alzheimer's or, oh, God, I can hardly think of a living death worse than that.
I know. It happens, kiddo. Sometimes life is cruel. God gives us some kind of test that we have to endure. I don't know why he gives us the test, but he does, or she does, or it does. And we're all tested. And our soul is tested, and we find a way. And finding a way is with, and you don't hear me say much spiritual things on this show. I believe what I believe. Do I believe in God? Yes, I do. But I believe that he never gives us too much that we can't handle. I kind of believe that. He shows us the way, and maybe that little tiny window, and it's up to us to pry that window open a little larger, and pretty soon we can climb out of that window, that darkness, into the light. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the only spiritual thing that I can say right now.
Of course it makes sense.
But,
I mean, I think that's the whole point of human aspiration, is to steadily try to find a better way forward.
Sure.
I mean, I think that's what, ideally, even the worst human beings, in a vague kind of way, aspire to, achieving something better, something nobler, something greater, even though they might be employing perverted and wicked means to do it, I still think that in their belief they're doing something better.
I hear you. Okay, we got it.
And then when you actually are working toward the better angels of human nature, as Abraham Lincoln put it, then you get something grand.
Yeah.
And that's what I think we need to talk more about. Like the recent discussions about Thanksgiving, what did they devolve to in many cases? Oh, genocide, destruction of Indians. Oh, yeah. You know, it works to that, but instead of looking at what actually came out of Thanksgiving and all of that, first of all, a peace treaty with the Wampanoag Indians that lasted for 50 years or more. It lasted for 50 years. The Mayflower Compact, which signaled a birth of religious freedom and the idea of working cooperative with the idea of religious freedom and all these and certain guarantees and the idea of being thankful for the blessings that you're given. But no, a lot of people have to turn it into worse things about it. You know, I mean, everything is, you know, I mean, we got to start looking at things that are noble and things that have even a downside.
Sure.
Nobility comes about, you know, but now that we got people who are just wedded to the cynicism, nihilism of the worst aspects of human nature rather than the better ones.
Well, you're right, and I agree with you. But I got to do the transition really quick, guys. We don't have much time. Oh, by the way, we got about two more. Today is what, Tuesday? Tuesday. I will not be on tomorrow, which is Wednesday. Thursday and Friday's very iffy. And then I'm taking a two-week vacation.
You owe it to yourself, Brian.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Congratulations,
sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You can follow me. I might make some surprise appearances somewhere out of some location that you at least expect me to be because I'm stupid like that. But if you haven't followed, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. That's following me. And if I pop up anywhere, you will pop up. It'll be right there to let you know where I am. The show that's going to change, I'm hoping, I'm on vacation, I'm hoping to go live on the air to start streaming this show, to bring you the musicians, the arts, to bring you interviews and everything, live streaming on YouTube and on Facebook to bring everybody in front of you. I guess an interview will be like Howard Stern kind of thing. I'll be on the microphone interviewing people. And if you're a musician, what I'll do is be playing your you're dropping your song or you're dropping your single, and you will be the musical guest. It won't be a full interview. It won't be like, what's your inspiration of the song? What is the song called? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, here it is. And here's the name of the group. Okay, after the song is played, okay, where can they download this song? Where can they purchase the song? Thank you very much. We're out of here. You don't be like that kind of thing. It'll be like that. Hopefully when I come back, it'll be that. This show will still be around. Again, these are things in my head. It might be more of a podcast. And you will still be notified of the show. Will I still have the format? Of course I will. Will you be able to come in? Yes. But it might be a little podcast thing. We will not have this long conversation before. So there's a lot of things that may make some changes. But what would you guys do without me? I'd still be around. I came out saying that we're independents, and what we're doing is we fight for the independent musician. We fight for the independent songs, and we fight for the independent artist. That's who we were. We used to have a slogan on this show, without you, there is no us. If you spelled us as U.S., and without the U, take away the U, there's no us. We used to have the thing like that. So we're grateful for people supporting us. So without you, there is no us. That's our model. I know we haven't promoted independence like we got away from that with different hosts and different executive producers, but we're getting back to that in live stream. So look for me, and I will enjoy you. All right, we got to get back really quickly. Here it is. So anyway, the GOP's, so Trump got played. He didn't know what hit him. He got played. And again, I think we got to stop. I think we got to stop looking at the left wing news and the right wing news and trying to spin this bullshit and be real people. if Trump is there to help your agenda, vote for him. I don't care if Trump was married three times. That's none of your fucking business. You don't care if Trump business succeeded or failed. You didn't get no money. I don't care if Trump hair blows backwards. Who cares? You got an afro. The fact of the matter is the reason you're voting for Trump is because of your agenda. So whatever you try to do about Trump and try to display him, or he's ignorant, he's a clown, or whatever, I can understand you want to fight for him. But you're not going to change the votes. Now, the only flaw that Trump has is that, I'm saying, if you're mafia, he's doing it the wrong way. He's letting the bodies live. He's not burying the bodies. Usually you bury, you got to know where the bodies are buried. With Trump, he's not burying them bodies. They're writing books. They're walking around as the wounded zombies. They still got a mouth, and they're waiting to jump on him. And it's starting to happen. The people that Trump has done wrong is finally crawling out of the dirt like zombies, and they're going to eat your brain, and they're getting enough balls pretty soon to say, let's move on. So his bodies are not buried. His bodies are coming back to get him. And that's the problem with Trump, and it's starting to happen. If you're going to run for president in 24, you need to expand your base. Well, Trump is busy defending himself. He's not expanding his base. Now, Trump, it says here, now this latest attack, Trump is not doing so well. Trump is saying, okay, people are saying, hey, man, they played you. You've been attacked. You got to go after him. And we're talking about Fuentes. Trump is not doing it. In fact, Trump is shying away from it. Here it is. Donald Trump shied away from criticizing Nick Fuentes. And the reason he shied away from it is because he knows that vote. He knows that pro-Trump vote. A lot of them you want to call communist or white wing or conservative white wing or white supremacists. Trump knows his audience. And here's what happens when you when you pledge to be the president of the United States, you run in one party. Then when you finally get the vote, you got enough, then you have to go middle ground to get the rest of the votes. You cannot stay in one area. You got to kind of go in the middle so you can get those independents, because your whole goal is to be president of the United States. And this guy, Fuentes, is punking Trump and say, I am here, and you don't even know who the fuck I am, saying this to Trump, I am here to set you straight. You have derailed yourself. You have lost focus. You have lost who your party is. You are being more conservative, and you're going over there. I'm here to keep you. And he's saying this in front of Trump's face. It's like even I'm getting appalled and saying, you little shit, what gives you the right to say that? But now Trump made this monster, just like the GOP made the monster. The GOP made the monster. We cannot beat the Democrats. They can make a monster. Okay, we'll go, we need a personality, arm and everything, hair. That's called the monster Trump. They created Trump. Trump became a monster. First he was controlled, but then the monster became the professor and showed the way. And the people loved the monster. There he is. That's good. Grab my pussy. Me grab pussy. Yay, pussy grabber, pussy grabber. Yay, Trump. Yay, Trump. USA. The monster became the professor. Now, what's happening is Trump created another monster. No, it was not Eric Trump. It's now Fuentes. Nobody knew who this guy was. This guy was a dickweed. This guy's an idiot, a clown. And that's what Fuentes did. You got to admire what Fuentes did. You may not like him. You may think he did, but he did a Trump. He made himself bigger. And he did it off the back of Donald Trump. And so he's calling Trump a bitch. Now here's Trump's reply. Here's the headline. Donald Trump shied away from criticizing Nick Fuentes. Advisors wanted ex-president Trump to distance himself from the white supremacist with whom he dined. But Trump feared he would alienate his supporters. So the same thing that gave Trump the strength is now his weakness. He can't, because he's afraid that those Proud Boys and those other white supremacists and everything who was saying, I'm buying your t-shirts and the MAGA hats, are going to leave him. And that's all he has, because he hasn't really expanded his base. instead of Trump owning them, they own Trump now. This guy knows it, and he's getting worse. Donald Trump repeatedly refused to disembowel the outspoken anti-Semite and white supremacist Nick Fuentes after they spoke over dinner at his Mar-a-Lago resort, rejecting the advice from advisors over fears he may alienate a section of his base. The former U.S. president was urged publicly and privately to deny his friend. He needs to denounce him now. If he doesn't denounce him, he will be owned. The former U.S. president was urged publicly and privately to denounce Fuentes in the aftermath of the dinner, which included the performer Yi, previously known as Kanye West, who has also recently been propagating anti-Semitic remarks. But Trump, he's not going to have it. None of the statements from the campaign on his Truth Social account included criticism of Fuentes. Despite efforts from advisors who reached Trump over the Thanksgiving holiday, Trump says, I'm not going to do it. Trump ultimately made it clear that he fundamentally did not want to criticize Fuentes, a product of his dislike of confrontation and his anxiety that it might antagonize a devoted part of his base and become more entrenched in his own abstinence to urge to do so, on and on and on. So now, bottom line, so what this fucker did, I'm talking about Fuentes, who came to Trump's face and started telling him that this is what you're doing wrong, and this is why we're going to leave you, and I didn't leave the party left me. You need to, telling Trump what he needs to do, and Trump going, okay. So while he's busy telling Trump and scolding Trump, he's sending his thing to DeSantis. So while he's talking to Trump and telling Trump, you need to do this, you need to do this, he is sending his best to Santos, and he's with him. So he's making a fool out of Trump right now, and he's playing them both. Now Santos has to get out here and say, get rid of this motherfucker. It would even it out, but none of these guys are doing this because they're beholden to this guy, which is giving him a lot of power. Now, if you think that's bad, so when you see the little mices, across three statements on Friday, Trump initially sought only to play down the dinner and made no mention of Fuentes and his views before saying angrily in a post on his Truth Social website that evening that Yi expressed no anti-Semitism. And that's what all Trump said. Nobody talked about anti-Semitism. They're fine. Now, what happened was, and here's what, during the gossip, so Yi got in Trump's face. So when you're weak, it starts to come. They smell bitchery. They smell bitch. Hey, what's that cologne you're wearing? Hey, Leroy, what's that cologne you're wearing? It's called bitch. Yeah, you smell like a bitch. Well, thank you. You want me to do anything else for you? No, bitch. Thank you. They smell bitch. It's not a great cologne, so don't give it to your father on Christmas. Nobody wants to wear bitch. Hey, Brian, what's that smell? It's called bitch. What? You smell like a bitch. I know I've been sick. I hate this cologne, but my girlfriend wants me to wear it. Bitch, it's the worst cologne ever. Don't smell like a bitch. And so Trump must have been wearing bitch cologne because Yi got in Trump's face. And Yi said this, you know what? I'm going to run for president, and you're going to be my running mate. Well, I don't know what happened. It's like the Grinch stole Christmas. It's like all of a sudden the Grinch heart grew three sizes too big. Well, Trump, they've been told that Trump's balls got three times bigger than they were. I mean, his pants got tighter and his balls swelled up. And he looked at Yi and said, you can't beat me. What the fuck are you talking about? And he started yelling and screaming at Yi and also started talking about Yi's hoe. I'm sorry, his former wife. And Yi got upset. So Trump grew some balls like the Grinch. And he yelled at Yi, but Yi didn't expect it. So this is like a little holiday story. But Yi didn't expect the shit. So Yi got pissed off and said, and made it in the press saying, where is it? Donald Trump insulted me, and I'm very mad. So Ye went to the press as a ye bitch. Now he owns a cologne. Bitch ye. So he goes to the press, and he starts saying that, and Donald Trump started calling my wife bad names. Here's, Kanye West calls Donald Trump a liar. He said things that hurt me. That's the headline in New Week magazine. Trump finally grew some Trump balls. Kanye West was called, Kanye West, and these are the people who were with Trump. He's hugging on Trump, loving Trump. And it took this white supremacist and calling Trump saying, you're off the rails. We're here to set you straight. And this is like the worst, what do you call that party that gets you right? I forgot what it's called. Kanye West was called Donald Trump a liar, stating in an interview that the former president has said that things that hurt him. Trump has been under fire from all sides of the political spectrum after it was revealed last week that he had met with West, who has been criticized for an anti-Semitic comment, and white supremacist Nick Fuentes at a former president. In a series of Truth Social posts defending the meeting, Trump wrote that he didn't know who Fuentes was. Okay, Trump, that's a lie. Shut up. Sometimes you got to know when to shut up. Less is more, Trump. Shut up. But stop short of condemning the man who the Southern Poverty Law Center says is a white nationalist live streamer. That makes Trump in a very weak place right now. Trump also posted that he agreed to meet with West, who legally changed his name to Yee, amid the fallout. Okay, let's just get to a point where... Then he said Trump called West a seriously troubled man. And here it is in a voice. I guess this love affair is over. Interracial marriages just don't work. Oh, it's just music. Well, Trump told West, you can't beat me. You're a seriously troubled man. That's who you are, you little man. But he said something about Kim Kardashian. During an appearance, the podcast, West revealed that he continues to support Trump despite stating that the real estate mogul is known for lying. Now he's going broadcasting that Trump is a liar. Remember about the bodies? See, the mafia makes sure they bury the bodies. That's how it works. You don't leave them walking wounded. There's so many people that Trump has left, so many enemies that are walking wounded right now, that this is going to get him this year. I'm not kidding you. Even Pence is going after Trump. Taking an aim at Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence, West said, look at Pence. He sold Trump out. You get what I'm saying? I would have never wanted to do anything that hurt Trump. I'm on Trump's side. Trump said things that hurt me. He lied about me. But I mean, he's known for lying. And when people used to tell me that he's a liar, it's like, you know, I went into the trenches for Trump. There's another conversation. There was no one in my position that wore that hat. And all of the surroundings, it exhausted me. It was like death by a thousand questions. That's what ye said. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Sometimes I'm so clever. I should win an award. Hear ye.
Well, that was very
and
cute,
we're here,
Brian. I'm going to give you points on that one. That was cute. That was cute.
What's that? I'm sorry.
That was cute. I got to give you points on that one. That was cute.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you very much. And so now... What's his name is going after Donald? This dude, man, and I don't like it. And the GOP needs to distance, and those little rats from the GOP are saying, let's distance ourselves from Donald Trump. Goes, I don't like you bastard, but really, seriously? So Nick now thinks he's in a level where it says, Nick Fuentes turns on Donald Trump. And he calls for a new candidate in 2024. So now Donald Trump gave him the respect. Donald Trump called him by his name. Donald Trump showed him some love. They probably got a picture together. That's what he needed. This is the rat that got inside the house. He's pulling a Donald Trump on Donald Trump. So now that he got this word, so now he's calling, while he's trying to make nice with Donald Trump, he's calling on people to vote for another 24 candidate. He says Nick Fuentes has just turned on Donald Trump just days after attending his dinner. And it says, in a series of posts, Fuentes called a new far-right candidate to outflank the Trump in 24 as he questioned what Christian Americans would get out of Trump in the White House. Fuentes, who has a disdain for mainstream Republicans, was brought as a guest of rapper Kanye West, now known as Ye, to a dinner. But the 24-year-old Fuentes, a vocal supporter for the MAGA movement, has now turned on his former hero. He said, conservative media speculates that Ye and I are being used to hurt Trump. It is the other way around. Trump is hurting us. Trump and MTG Marjorie Taylor Greene are being used as bait to lure the base back into supporting people like Kevin McCarthy. I told you this. I don't have to read it anymore. They just dropped a grenade in the GOP. The Democrats don't have to do shit. Shut your fucking mouth and watch this show. This is a civil war going on. And I hate to say it, I'm rooting for Trump. But the bottom line of it is, Trump, if he's backed in a corner, knowing his characteristic of who Trump is, he'd rather burn the motherfucker down than give up. So this is going to be a blood fight, and I hope Trump wins, because these other people, oh my God, they are so far out that it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a bloodbath. So it's time to watch the news, get some popcorn, because this is going to be a bloody fucking mess. That's all I have to say. I got 3 more minutes of rebuttal, and I got to tell you a quick story. What do you think, Sergeant 708? What do you think?
I think the whole affair is a tempest in a media teapot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it'll stir up the situation for a long time. How much of a political following is Nick Fuentes has? For that matter, Kanye West. No, I don't see it as this great big significant blow-up you're talking about. Excuse me. I see it as kind of like, you know what happens on the DMZ in North Korea every now and then? It's big for a couple of days. There's a firefight between, you know, North and the South. And it's diplomatic howling back and forth, and then it's over. I don't think it's going to be much more than that.
My father used to say to me when I was a kid, he used to say, do I know you? Yes, Dad, it's me. Oh, okay. Then we go on. And he said, son, who I think you are, my son, until the test gets back, don't give people a reason. That's all he used to say. Never explained himself. Meaning, don't give Kanye a reason. He was off talking about Jewish people. People think he's crazy. His own wives think he's crazy. But you don't want to give him a reason, and Donald Trump's going to give him a reason. He's already using it. Well, we know Trump's a liar, and he's always been a liar. I didn't want to wear the hat because I died a thousand deaths wearing it. He owes me. And in this, you don't want to give him a reason. I mean, you will survive his shit because he's already mentally ill. But you don't want to give him a reason to come back. Don't give people reasons. I want to do this really quick. You know, this thing about, I'm going to read this really quick, and it's really dear to me. Here we go, and help. And that's enough. I think I've fulfilled my obligation of the stories today. This Matthew Perry thing, I had to read back to it because there was a new detail that I did not read. And I don't know if any of you guys know what a colostomy bag is. And if you're under 35, you probably don't know what it is.
many of us are familiar with its contents, so to speak.
Yes. Well, things are coming out on the Matthew Perry thing, and I was going to spend more time with it, but I'm going to go really quick. So this thing that really caught my eye, one of the things that caught my eye, is that he went to Elvis Presley land, meaning that he took so much Vicodin and so many drugs, pills. We're talking pills. See, when you start taking pills, he was up to 55 Vicodins a day, 55 Vicodins a day, on top of Xanax, Oxycontin, and alcohol. This is what this guy was taking. And if you ever taken any kind of pills whatsoever or medication whatsoever, you're going to have a form of constipation. And I think this is what Elvis Presley died of. You know, and if you ever had hard stools and you thought it was almost going to kill you and everything, well, his ass blew up. He must have had one bad movement that it must have killed him, and that is just exploded his butt. And there's some little stories that are coming out. So here it is right here. Let me read it to you. Matthew Perry recalls horrors of dealing with a colostomy bag. Okay, everybody, here's what a colostomy bag is. Your butthole, I have to explain it to my audience. We're a five. It's basically out of service. So to repair your rectum, they would give you a colostomy bag. I'm not a medical doctor. And what it does, it holds your waste. And so now your waste goes into this bag. And if you've ever been around a person with a colostomy bag, colonoscopy bag, I think I'm saying it right, colonoscopy bag. I'll put it to you this way. If you ever had anybody, any of your friends ever had chitlins in your house? If you ever had a friend that cooked chitlins, this is 10 times worse. The smell is so bad, you actually have to run out of the house. You can't take the smell. It's horrible. So when we come back, you're not going to believe what happened. We got 13 minutes. I'm sorry, people. I have to take a break for 1 minute. I'm sorry, I have to do it. Oh, yeah. And I'm here with Sarge. And 708, you're live on the air. You have your mic open anytime you want to step in. I think you're part of the winning team, and thank you for listening. I see you. I'll be right back after I take this break because I got to get this one call. I'm sorry. So we'll be right back.
When I wake up,
it is you.
As I breathe,
it is you.
As I live every day,
it is you.
Oh, wow. As I walk,
it is you.
As I talk,
it is you.
Yeah, yeah. Everything that I do,
it is you.
So goodness of my own that I have. What I have, I don't deserve the many blessings that you pour. I'm so sure every day I slip up a long life way. You forgive me because you're just always, always when I wake up. Possibilities are slim without him.
He's my source.
He's my everything. He's my all and all. And I don't know where I'd be. He's the one who carries me. Yeah. Everything that I do, it is you. I know that it's you. Keep loving me beyond my.
All right, so anyway, we're talking about it's a horrible thing, horrible thing. So apparently Matthew Perry had this on, and it's temporary sometimes. Sometimes it's permanent. But he tells the story that he used to wake up, and he recalls, and here's the headline. Matthew Perry recalls horrors of dealing with a colostomy bag after his colon exploded in 2018. I woke up covered in my own shit 50 to 60 times a day. 50 to 60 times a day. So he's saying this in the interview. He was given 2% chance to live after his colon burst. That's what he was given. Imagine waking up with shit all over your face, all over your lips, all over your whole body. 50 to 60 times. And that's due to his own low self-esteem. He lost all of his teeth. He says, I would go into the bathroom when they were somewhere, and you know what he used to do? He used to do a trick that even though he was Matthew Perry, he was making $1 million a week episode. He used to do a trick about realtors and find out who are the high-priced realtors that he can look at houses that are open houses. He used to go in there and steal their medication out of their medication cabinets. Some of that pales in comparison to new revelations. For instance, he told GQ that at the height of his pill addiction, during the Friends era, he was taking 55 Vicodins a day. He also used Xanax, OxyContin, alcohol that necessitated daily doctor shopping to acquire many pills from different sources to avoid getting dope sick. Over a period of approximately 5 years, Perry, who was earning over $1 million an episode in Friends, would make appointments with his realtor to see high-end properties with the purpose of stealing pills from the medicine cabinet. I would go into the bathroom when they were somewhere else, he explained, because if I could I go to the bathroom? Everybody knew he was in the bathroom. Inside, he would rifle through the owner's medicine cabinet to see what he could find. He would carefully check the labels, and if the medicine was expired, he would take a bunch, thinking it would be safe to steal. If the prescription was new, he'll just take a couple because it would be more noticeable. You do what you need to do, Perry said. I counted on the fact that no one would think that Chandler went through my medicine cabinet and stole from me. He was never caught, as far as he knows. He needed to feed his addiction. I couldn't stop where I thought I would go crazy, he said. Another shocking revelation was Perry discussing having a colonoscopy bag after his colon exploded in 2018 due to OxyContin abuse. While in a coma on life support over a two-week period of his five-month stay at the hospital, he had a colonoscopy surgery to change the trajectory of the waste from his bowels. A surgeon made an opening in his abdominal wall for the feces to come out, and it was collected in a bag. Perry previously said that having a colostomy bag is what kept him from using drugs, as he thought of one, again, is traumatic for him. And you can see why he detailed the specifics of the experience. I would wake up, he told the magazine, and the bag would have broken again, and I had shit all over my face, all over my body, in the bed next door. When it breaks, and you have to get a nurse. There was not a one thing off. When I say I woke up covered in my own shit, I'm talking 50 to 60 times, he said. Perry had 14 surgeries related to the hospitalization. One was a failed attempt at removing the colostomy bag. As a result, he was given a temporary replacement, an isotomy bag. You'll hear about that later. Isotomy connects the last part of the small intestine to the abdominal wall, and the bag catches the waste. 10 times worse, he said of the experience. You have to deal with this bag 18, 19 times a day versus a handful. There are a lot of suicides with the bag. People can't take it. Another surgery successfully fixed things. I live without it now for a long time, and I'm very grateful, he said. However, even nearly dying in a hospital didn't halt Perry's addiction. He went home. He called his drug dealer. So he has a fear of the bag. that he ever uses OxyContin again, he'll end up with a colonoscopy bag or a colostomy bag for life. He's also still getting used to how his body looks. And here's the interesting part. So he's talking about he woke up and that was the bag. He had to get used to it. What was really hard, he said, was getting used to how my body looks with the scars, but he was grateful for them because it helped him stay alive. But here's the part. He switched. Okay, blah, blah, blah. He goes, when he read the book for the first time on the eve of the recording, the audiobook, he read it and he cried and he cried and he cried. He went, oh, my God, this person has the worst life imaginable. Then I realized I was talking about me. When he there's a part where he woke up and he saw the bag and he cried and he cried and he saw his body. And he couldn't look at his body and the bag was there. It was just awful and he just broke down. So, unbelievable. I can't find the verse, but it was there. It was there. It's just, I don't know. He spent $9 million on treatment to fight addiction. He detoxed 67 times. He's been in rehab 15 times. He's been in therapy for 30 years. He's been to 6,000 AA meetings. Secrets kill you, he said of the addiction, which he has impacted every facet of his life down to speaking voice. Secrets kill people. He lost all of his teeth. Now, what was what's interesting is that's the story. I know I got 3 minutes, but this is really, it's getting really interesting. What's interesting is that here's what people, and it's called, this is what it's called.
Ileostomy
bag. That's probably the worst thing. I have no idea what that is. Couldn't believe anything. I was curious. I don't know if I have time. I was curious about what people were saying. Who has these bags? And so here are some of the responses. It was very interesting. So after hearing the article, the people started to respond. And this guy named Eddie, he says, people think someone who is rich and famous has the world by the tail, but more often than not, many of those famous people really have serious issues. Okay, fine, get rid of that. I'm passing left, I'm passing right. Scott says, I never thought of having a lot of money would make me happier. Just some more okay, who cares about you, Scott? Pass that again. Firebird, this person, they are human too. None of us is perfect. Who they are on stage is that. Who cares? Okay, now you're useless. Get away. Okay, here's another person, Don. Life is tough enough, but taking drugs just ends up making it tougher, not better. Even if you take care of yourself, you're going to have health problems when you get older in most cases. Okay, I'm going to leave you, Don. Okay, you make sense. Okay, here's another guy. Well, his name is Alien. When we get older, we all have health. Shut up. Okay, you're useless. Okay, now here's Kim. Here's Kim. She had I like Stomy bag that you just heard. And she's very interesting. Here's how it's pronounced.
Ileostomy.
Now, she had a bag. Now it gets interesting. Kim says she had an ileostomy bag due to colon cancer, and it's no picnic, but it was a lifesaver. During life, you sometimes have to go through things you don't plan, but you eventually adjust to a new normal. Maybe not the normal that you want, but the one that you have. I'm cancer-free for 14 years now, and I wish him the best. So she had, and a successful recorder. Here's Billy. I've had a permanent colostomy bag, since 2005. He had rectal cancer. I worn a bag ever since. It saved my life. If I had not had the surgery, I would not have lived to see my two grandsons. It's a drag from time to time, but I'm grateful. I'm also amazed that doctors and nurses can put me into this sleep, cut me from my navel down, remove all the cancer, reroute my digestive system, sew me back up, and not kill me. They are brilliant. Don, here's what he says. I agree, Billy. I've had I like colostomy since 1981. Choice was to do or die. It was inconvenienced from time to time, yes, but it has not stopped me from doing anything that I wanted to do or try. It takes a little planning sometimes, but I played sports until I was 50 or so, been married 40 years, and have 7 beautiful grandbabies. I want to thank Sarge for hanging in here. And I'm going to give you the last word, Sarge. Thank you, my friend, for letting me do that.
Yeah, I know how awful it is to have a colostomy bag. Not that I had one, but I had a friend of mine who was, shot, and he had to resection his bowel. He moved about a foot and a half or 2 feet of his intestine. He had to reroute it to a colostomy bag, and it took him about 7-8 months, and he had to wear that bag. But at least he got to the point where he could get rid of it. But it was pretty gruesome, and I know what he went through. So, it's just pretty nasty. And sometimes that's what you got to have in order to stay alive. But, see, the thing is, like Matthew Perry acknowledged, they know how to do it now.
Yeah.
So, they can do the surgery, and your digestive system can heal itself. And he says that, he pretty much has normal movements, but, he still has bouts of diarrhea, and he does have some indigestion at times. But it's just, for the most part, everything works pretty much the way it's supposed to.
Well, you got to do to stay alive, right? What's the alternative? Bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. I mean, you talk about all the friends coming from Vietnam and all the friends who come from war. You got all. If you really want to get, I recommend this. If you really want a humble experience, if you ever found yourself on these holidays feeling low because of some stupid ass, you got a depression or whatever, you know what I think you should do? I used to do this. Find the nearest VA hospital. Find a nearest VA hospital. Seriously. Just go there. And just sit there for a little bit. Just sit there. And all those people, majority of those people that you see there have fought for this country. And they had their limbs at one time. They had their face at one time. They were, for them to go into the Army, they had to take a physical. So they were not challenged in any way physically. Look at them. Look at them in a wheelchair. Look how they're reacting. Look how they're walking. Look how they're talking to themselves. Look what they sacrifice for our country. So when you want a humble experience, you look at our war heroes. You know where to find them. It's at the VA hospital. They're not hiding. You just don't see the cape on them, and you just don't see them flying around. But they're there. And it's a reminder that no matter what's going on in your life, somebody got it worse. And they're surviving, and they're happy they're alive. How's that? Sarge, I want to thank you for coming in. I had a good show today. I want to thank Pastor Don Jr., CEO, with the winning team for coming in. And 708, you didn't talk, but I think you're from the winning team. Thank you for here. Oh, the lovely Laverne. Of course, the lovely Laverne. Thank you for coming in, Laverne. And just remember, our political leaders are not, they're not our role models. Nobody would want that job. It only pays $250,000 a year, maybe. I don't know. Who would want that job? It might be $300,000. I don't know. But they're not there for us to admire. They're not there for us to make our hero worship. They're there to move our agenda, whatever it is. This is what we vote for them. To move our agenda forward. And the other guy, he has a different agenda than you do. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because remember, we need a two-party system in America or else everything will fall apart. We used to have a three-party, but we need at least a two-party to make democracy reign. That's the truth. Sarge, I want to say goodnight, but I'm going to give it to you, sir, to send us off.
Well, thanks again. And by the way, I did go see Devotion, and I got to admit, there's not too many movies that make me tear up, but I got to admit, because it takes a lot to get me to tear up, but that movie made me tear up. Mm-hmm. It reminded me that I serve with men like that in that movie. Actually, boys, but I serve with men like that. They exist. That bond is that strong. It really is.
Right.
And if you want to see a movie that really gets to the heart of the kind of comradeship that you can form in the armed forces and the military, that movie typifies it as well as anything I have ever seen.
Wow.
It really stuck closely to the book because I read the book. It made up a couple things that were kind of, they're done for dramatic effect. But for the most part, I'd say 90%. 85 to 90% of it is pretty much down the line accurate.
Mm.
And it's definitely worth looking at. And like I said, it is about brothers who depend on each other and will literally put their lives on the line for each other, not even necessarily for the mission, but for each other as well as the mission. And it's just an outstanding story. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's not ginned up. It actually happened. This man that did what he did got the Medal of Honor and for doing what he did to save his friend. And not only that, you know, his friend was also a great airman, Jesse Brown, the first black naval aviator. And he put his life on the line to support the Marines who were in dire straits, having been surrounded at the Chosen Reservoir. It's a story of two great Americans and a great friendship, and I think everybody should see it.
I'm going to.
And unlike friendship of that, because Thomas Hudner was an elite Brahmin from the East Ivy League circles on the eastern seaboard of the United States. And Jesse Brown was a sharecropper's son. And they became fast friends. It's an amazing story.
You know, it sounds, it's on my list, and I'll be seeing that on my vacation. That's my number one.
They even hung out with Elizabeth Taylor at Cannes. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
They even hung out with Elizabeth. It's a true story. They hung out with her at Cannes. And, he spoke fluent French because he studied in high school. Jesse Brown did. And he tightened him up with a whole bunch of people. It's quite a story.
Wow. I want to read up on his book and everything. And sorry.
Yeah, you should read the book. You really should. I mean, the book is the book is worth the read. The book is every bit as good as the movie. And
you got it.
He really covers. He's got a lot of photographs of him and his wife and all that.
You got it.
But it really made me it reminded me of many of the men I served with, and it made me tear up. I can see him today, and I swear that movie was just touching.
I know. It's great when they get it right, isn't it, Sarge? It's great when the movie people get it right. It's great.
Yeah, when they
movie
get it right,
get
Hollywood
it right.
Deserves credit for getting it right and doing it well and making it entertaining as well.
Yeah.
It was a respectful homage to those men and the men of that squadron, their devotion to duty. And it's a shame when they call Korea the forgotten war, because think about it. If you enjoy your Samsung phone or your Kia automobile or whatever, the reason you can do it is because the men of the United States Armed Forces, the United Nations actually, I mean, you know, the British particularly made a great contribution to the war. So did some many other United, but mainly the United States. Because the soldiers of the United States who hurled back a communist offensive for which the United States Armed Forces in the first year of the war was not prepared for at all. They almost got routed. They almost got routed. You know the story of the Korean War? You have no idea how close it came to defeat in the first month.
Wow.
And they came back. One of the greatest generals in American history, a guy named Matthew Ridgway, who rebuilt the 8th Army. And and, of course, Doug MacArthur's brilliant move at Incheon, and after that he turned into a jerk, but still that's another story. But the story of it is amazing, and it saved South Korea. It saved South Korea. And if you want to know the difference between the two systems of government, just look at the difference between the way the people in South Korea live and the way the people in North Korea live, and if that don't settle the argument forever, there's nothing more I can say to you. There's nothing more to say.
That's true.
There's nothing more to say. If you actually believe that communism is going to give you a lifestyle that is worth living or any way comparable to anything a free market economy with basic liberties can give you, there's nothing more I can say. And the men of the United States Armed Forces secured that freedom in reality and gave that example to the world by what they did in Korea and some of the hardest fighting American forces have ever undergone. And the fact that that's a forgotten war for me is one of the greatest shames, one of the most greatest disgraces I can think of. Everybody should know what the United States Armed Forces did in Korea from 1950 to 1953. All of it. They should know the whole story.
Wow. Wow.
It's a damn shame.
It is a miracle. Heroes are all around us every day. Sarge, you're one of them. We just don't know who are.
I know. I serve with men who are heroes, and I'm telling you this, to this day, I'll never forget them. I'll never forget.
Not only that,
were,
but you also.
They were the most wonderful people
a,
I've ever known in my life. Among the most anyway.
You also served as a peace officer, too, and I'm sure in your line of duty, you have outperformed and did a little extra because the kind of person you are.
Well, you know, a lot of things are a little, especially some. I was lucky in my outfit. We had pretty good commanding officers, and that way I think that's the key. You had good leadership. You had good people
right.
who were pretty well trained and know what they're doing, and they know how to keep the experience round and utilize it. It makes all the difference in the world, and I was fortunate to be in a unit that was like that.
Well, you know what? You're a good man. You're a good man, Sarge. I got to go. I hope to see you tomorrow. And thank you so much for supporting this show. It's been a blessing meeting you, Sarge, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I enjoyed it very much, too, Brian. I mean, it's open. You get the, you got a forum of ideas here, and you got people on that don't agree with you, and they fight like hell with you, but it all comes out in the wash, and that's the main thing. Clarity over agreement is infinitely more important.
Well, I'm not going to lose friends like you. You'll know what I'm doing. Trust me. Thank you, Sarge.
Okay.
And love to everybody.
I'll be checking you out, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. See you guys tomorrow. This is Brian and Hammer Jackson saying goodbye. See you later, sir. Thank you. I salute Sarge, and thank you for all your support, everybody. See you guys tomorrow.